free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Harrison Smith, sitting in today for David Knight. It is the 11th of September, the year 2020. September 11th, this morose, morbid holiday that we remember the tragedy, the attack that was made upon us as a people and a civilization. You can see behind me the two beams of light shining into the sky where the towers once stood, and to the right, the replacement building that was built. Place them. Very interesting about that building. It's called the One World Trade Center. And if you look at the building from ground level, it actually looks like a pyramid. Kind of interesting stuff. Don't look too much into that or else you might become a conspiracy theorist. I think 9/11 was the intro for a lot of people into the realm of conspiracy theory. And as much as obviously the designs of those that carried this attack out and or allowed it to be carried out have all been fulfilled. Our liberty has been truncated to the maximum degree possible. The security excuse has been used to level all of our constitutionally guaranteed rights, freedom of speech, freedom of association. All these things have all been down the line casualties of that terrible event. I guess it's kind of cliche to go through the discussion of where were you on that fateful day? When did you first learn about it? It's like, I guess it's like how the JFK assassination was. So heck, why not? I'll go with that as well. I was in sixth grade. Pershing Middle School in Houston, Texas. And, you know, it's interesting for me. I'm 30 years old right now. And I think people my age and just within a year or two of me have such a unique position in the world because we grew up with the internet, right? It's like when the internet was in its infancy, I was in my infancy. When the internet was starting to come of age with chat modules and all this sort of stuff, I was in middle school and learning how to do this. When this disaster happened, when this attack occurred and the world changed forever, I was just coming into awareness of the wider world and consciousness and even understanding the scale of such things and what it meant to see all this happening. And then going through middle school in seventh and eighth grade, watching live the broadcast of the bombing of Iraq. Wow. I didn't think I'd still get choked up about this. Because, man, I remember so distinctly being a little kid and the trauma that it caused, knowing that I was watching live people be killed by Americans. And praying fervently that it all end. Now here we are 19 years later and it's still going on. It's still going on. This is, and it's literally inflicting trauma upon an entire nation. And you can only imagine, the fallout that this has had. Of course, the good news is that this also woke people up. This made people realize. And it took years in many cases, decades in others. I remember having conversations with people I'm very close to saying, what are you, a 9/11 truther? And going, don't you want to know the truth as well? Don't you want to wake up? And now, years later, hey, they get it. They understand. They're not disparaging conspiracy theory or trutherism anymore. They realize the levels of dishonesty that our government is capable of when their designs are to take away our every liberty and conquer the world. Greg Reese is going to join me and we're going to break down the fallout of 9/11 and the way it's been used to destroy America.
The mask is more than just a symbol of subservience, being a blind follower, not knowing facts and science. It's a symbol that you have been turn into a subhuman. And they tell you, you are non-essential. Remember, first they said no more industry, you'll be a service economy, and now they tell you service is non-essential. This has been the post-industrial world plan the whole time. In Operation Lockstep and other documents, the Rockefeller Foundation admits that this is how they're going to slowly teach you to be totally poor, and under their control, so you can finally be starved to death of nutrients and then killed with very, very weak bioweapons that won't affect anyone that actually gets their RDA of vitamins and minerals. And so that's the plan for you and your family. Now I know you're tuned into this broadcast, you check this out for yourself, you know it's true. So let's start warning the sheep. Let's start educating them now. I just went and swam at the lake, and I walked around for 20 minutes educating people after I got out of the water. It's that simple. We must take action now or be slaves forever. This is Life and Death.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is The David Knight Show. Today is September 11th, the year 2020. It is day 179 of America Held Hostage. Day 179, rapidly approaching day 183, which would be half a year. One half of a year of total lockdown, folks. Of course, this is the anniversary of 9/11, and it's rather telling that this is where we are 19 years later. 19 years on, the intended consequences of that attack on that fateful day are now fully in fruition. We have the censorship, the surveillance, the control, the so-called safety measures used to truncate and eliminate all of our precious liberties. Yes, this was, of course, the intended and the true end goal of this attack that occurred on 9/11. And here we are. We've really failed to resist the oncoming onslaught against all of our liberties. Some people recognized it at the time. Alex Jones, of course, first and foremost amongst those. And of course, on September 11th, 2001, Alex Jones was still an obscure radio host here in Austin, Texas, but he would come to prominence by putting out the message that 9/11 was in fact an inside job, popularizing that term. 9/11 was an inside job, popularizing the idea of false flags, which we now see pretty much everywhere. And it's interesting how the entire concept of false flags has evolved from something like 9/11, which caused, or which required rather, very intricate coordination and secrecy between high-level groups in the U.S. government with cooperation from the mainstream media, using all of these various forms and tactics in order to bring about the mainstream narrative and suppress any dissent against that. Nowadays, a false flag is as simple as somebody drawing a swastika on the side of their own synagogue, just knowing that the media is not going to question it. They're going to run with the story. That information is going to get out there. And even if it's found to be false later on, no one's going to care because the information is already going to get out there. So we've seen the way false flag, the idea of false flags has evolved and actually grown to have a place in the American mind. And here 19 years later, we really truly see the fallout of 9/11. Now joining me here to my right is Greg Reese. And we were talking just before the show about 9/11, about the fallout of it, the way that it's transpired. And so I just said, hey, just come on the show and we'll have the conversation on air. Because I don't want to spend the whole day on this event. You know, it's great to talk about it and mention it, especially the fallout of it. But what is there to say after 19 years, I guess is my thing. We know the truth. At least we know that what they're telling us is the truth is not the truth. There's been so much work put into getting this truth out. Now you were working on a report about 9/11, but you sort of, what did you decide
I ended up deciding to, like you said, what can you say after 19 years? And what I started getting into was more drawing comparisons to 2020. And also, I suppose, like, the knowledge I have now looking back then. I mean, 9/11 in 2001 was, I guess you could say, my red pill moment, although it took a few years afterwards to wake up. But it was initially when I saw the building get hit on TV, or no, I'm sorry, when I saw the buildings fall, the first thing I thought was controlled demolition, just like anyone thought who has ever seen a controlled demolition.
Right.
But then they said that that wasn't what it was, and they started telling another story, and then that's what made me start questioning. And so it just occurred to me last night when I was looking into 9/11 again, how the main thing about 9/11, in my opinion, is it was many things. It was a very multidimensional attack. But one of the things, one of the main things, I believe, is that it was intended for us to see what was going on.
It was a symbol.
We were meant to recognize that they were lying. We were meant to recognize that it was an inside job. And what really struck me with that was when you saw George Bush reading the book to the school kids. For years after that, the talk about it was that he's an incompetent president. But what struck me last night was that that was all intended. The intention was to basically admit to the entire public that your president is merely a puppet and there's a shadow government behind him.
Right.
And that's what it was. Cause it wasn't just by chance that he happened to be on television in that moment. And Ari Fleischer has admitted that he was holding up a sign that the press couldn't see that said, "Don't say anything."
Mm.
So this was all made public so that on some level, everyone understands that your president's just a puppet. It's like, and so the psyop of that is just, what's interesting is the effect it has on the population. It seems like, I mean, who really knows the actual numbers, but it would appear as if the majority of the population then submits and complies and accepts the lie and goes along with the lie as part of the whole ritual psyop of submission.
It's almost like a mafia attack. You know, some mafioso blows up a restaurant for not paying protection money. You don't want them to think it's a gas leak or else what's, you know, the threat isn't there. They don't know why it is. So they're not going to respond correctly, but you want them to know, okay, we did this. You don't want them to know exactly who did it because you don't want to be punished for it. At the same time, you want to let them know, hey, somebody did this. This is an attack on you. Because you want their, you're trying to get them to react in a certain way.
Exactly. And it's the same thing we're seeing with the whole with all of 2020 with the mask and the compliance of the mask is the same kind of thing. It's basically like everyone knows it's nonsense. Everyone knows they're just being told an order.
Right.
And so
a symbolic order. It reminds me of nothing more than the Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself thing, right? Like the idea that they tried to kill Jeffrey Epstein once, right? His failed suicide attempt. And then they did it again. All the cameras are off. The guards are asleep. Like it's obvious. It's obvious he didn't kill himself, right? But that's the point. They want you to know we can get you anywhere. We can get anybody. Nobody can stop us. And the same type of thing where it's like 9/11 was an inside job. Bush knew about 9/11, this type of stuff. It then kind of almost enters into the realm of memery, of memes, to where you almost, it loses its meaning. When you say Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, what you're saying is somebody killed Jeffrey Epstein. And so there should be follow-up questions. Who killed them and why? Who allowed it to happen and why? Et cetera, et cetera. Same way, 9/11 was an inside job. That's not the end of the statement. That should be the start of the conversation.
Yeah, and it's all psychological. It's all a very simple psychological operation. And it's the exact same thing that you see with, for example, the names and the titles, for example, like we say like New World Order or the Deep State or the Globalists, because this very organized international crime syndicate does not go by a name for that very reason.
Right.
And you know this when you're talking to people that don't see it. They'll say, well, who's they? And they have this little smirk, like, who's they? Because it's our basic psychology, I suppose, that if it doesn't have an official name, if it's not an official designated organization, then it just doesn't exist and you're a crackpot. And so, I mean, this, we can avoid all of this. We can overcome all of this simply by expanding our thinking, thinking a little bit outside of the box, realizing the power of deception, realizing how our minds are played like that. I mean, it's really brilliant. That's what the power of a secret organization is it doesn't exist. It's invisible.
Yeah, man, that's such a good point. I think about that all the time. That's one of the reasons that they try to destroy words. You know, they're trying to say the term globalist is anti-Semitic, because if you can't define globalism, how are you going to fight against globalism? If you can't say this is globalist, this puts the values of the globe above the values of the nation, and I disagree with that. If you can't use the word globalist, you can't describe that. So it is about control of words. We'll be right back.
It couldn't have been scripted any better. That's because it was completely scripted, and we even know the names of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, and John Hopkins documents. We have the script, just like you'd have for a Hollywood movie. And it's designed to free civilization and have a post-Renaissance stagnation or new dark age and a total consolidation of all wealth and power in the hands of the kleptocratic post-humanist. The magnitude of this is unfathomable, but you can see all the check boxes of tyranny are being marked carefully, every I dotted, every T crossed, a total societal vertical integration, takeover, medical tyranny, total surveillance. The big tech heads, on average, have had their wealth go up 35% in the last 8 months. And of course, Jeff Bezos has basically doubled his. Everyone is being forced onto their system, the post-human robot takeover. You're being made obsolete. In Germany, in Australia, in Canada, and now even in Ohio, every blue state, every blue city is announcing that they are establishing emergency COVID centers for people that refuse to be tested or people that are tested but refuse to stay in place while the results are coming back, or those that supposedly break quarantine. This, of course, is all based on the tests that are over 90% fraudulent and were designed to be so. This is a power grab. The world government globalist system is in trouble. All over the planet, free peoples are trying to pull out of it. And every blue area, I use the term blue as if in the U.S. for blue for Democrats, red for Republicans, is basically globalist or communist and authoritarian. And they are using this as their cover for an authoritarian takeover because they know the world's waiting to them. It's a very simple equation. It's illegal. We must resist it.
All of the experts agree that getting proper sleep is the cornerstone of good health. It has been proven that a poor sleep schedule is linked with numerous health problems, including weight gain, memory issues, mood changes, poor concentration, and even a weakened immune system. Introducing Rocket Rest, the new product from our Dr. Jones Naturals line at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Rocket Rest formula is loaded with the best natural ingredients to help not only improve your quality of sleep, but help you wake up feeling refreshed. Many competitors' sleep formulas focus only on getting you to sleep, but Rocket Rest was specifically formulated to help you feel rested and ready to take on the next day. It uses a unique quick-release capsule system to ensure fast delivery of deep sleep support ingredients like melatonin and magnesium. Rocket Rest helps you fall asleep fast, stay asleep, and wake up feeling rested. So get the new Rocket Rest formula from Dr. Jones Naturals right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk about all the horrible things that are happening, and I point out that the globalists are a eugenics death cult because it's true. I don't say it to scare you. A lot of people say, man, this show is dark. Well, you've got to know you're dealing with evil if you're going to defeat it. And if we just listen to the surface of what the NWO propagandists are saying, they have reasons to sell this garbage to the general public. But if you just scratch the surface, they're so arrogant, they've all written detailed blueprints of this plan. And more being honest about it. Because there comes a point where, as David Icke says, they have to stop hiding it and start selling it. So we're at the point of the emergence now. And it's coming out in the open. And some people, under mass Stockholm syndrome, are going to submit to any level of tyranny. But others are going to fight. This isn't like some old dictatorship that you could submit to it and join it and be okay. No. This thing is post-human exterminism. Research what that is.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Folks, we're back on this 19th anniversary of the day that changed the world. You know, it's really kind of sickening. I always just think about, you have all these people in America just struggling to get by, living in squalor, working 12 hours a day, working two jobs, just trying their best to get along, getting their door kicked in and guns put to their head while they're robbed. Just the fallout of the criminality and everything that goes on in America. And then I just picture like George Soros on a yacht somewhere drinking his champagne and knowing that he has had a hand in all of it and enjoying it and reveling in it. And I can only imagine the sort of perverse glee that must have been on the minds of the people that orchestrated and carried out 9/11 as they watched America collapse into this trauma coma, freaking out. As they just smiled their evil smile and smirked knowingly that they were the ones causing all of this. It's true psychopathy. It's true antisocial, just wickedness. And maybe that's just the only word for it is evil. And that's what we saw sort of on display on 9/11. So what was your experience with 9/11 on the day of and the ensuing days, Greg?
The day of, I was painting a residential house. That was my job at the time with a friend, and we were listening to Howard Stern, which was the thing to do back then. And then we heard it all on Howard Stern. And then after the first plane hit, then we left the job. We went back to his house, and then as soon as we walked in his house, turned the TV on, the second plane hit, and. Yeah, and like I said, that was the moment for me that really kind of started cracking my head open. Well, I guess the moment was when I saw the buildings fall and then I started seeing the official story and like many other people, it was very emotional for me. I actually I shortly after saw this very large, it was the first piece of art I've ever bought. It was a very large photograph of the World Trade Center taken from the street level looking up. It was rather dramatic. And I bought that and hung on my wall. I think it was the first and only thing I ever hung on my wall. So I lived with, the Twin Towers for several years afterwards, and symbolically that was what woke me up. And I would argue that that was part of the, it seems to me that the end goal for the psychopaths is to rule from the open, is to quit hiding.
Right.
They don't like to hide. That's why they're trying to normalize all of their degeneracies, is because they don't want to hide anymore. They want to sit upon a throne and rule over us like their, great, 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 great grandparents or whatever like that. The glory days,
Right.
That's what they want. And so I believe 9/11 was, like I said, many things, but one of the things it was like an introduction. It was like, here we are.
No, I think you described it as something like a debutante ball, the coming out ceremony.
Coming
of
out
of
the New World
Order.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it was also on 9/11 that Bush announced the New World Order, a few years prior in the 90s or 9/11 in the 90s or something. I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah, George Bush Sr. giving his New World Order speech. And, and again, we were talking about it before. This may be contradictory just to what I was saying earlier where, knowing that 9/11 was an inside job, that's sort of the first start. That's not the end of the conversation. That should be the beginning of the conversation. But then the flip side of that is you can get bogged down endlessly in the weeds of, was it a direct energy weapon used by Israel from satellites using the power of a hurricane coming in? Were there bombs planted inside the building? Were the planes holographs? Was it to cover up the trillions of dollars, missing from the Pentagon that were in the papers that the office were held? I mean, you can get into the weeds endlessly. You can discuss all of these things. Some theories are more valid than others, but at the end of the day, we don't have any conclusive proof. We don't know for sure any of this stuff. And so really what you need to look at is, okay, what do we know? We know what happened and we know the fallout of it. We know the event that occurred on its face, the core of it, planes hit the tower fell, thousands of people died. So we know that. And then we know the consequence of it. We know how that was used to enslave us. And that's really the important part, I think, to focus on. Great. It's important. Sure. You should try to find out who exactly was involved and what tactics did they use and how did they cover themselves up. That's all very important. But we've had 19 years of that. And I think it's been done enough. And there are people out there that you can go and read and watch and are still into this just as much as they were, you know, in 2002. And that's great. And they perform a valuable service. But at the end of the day, what's important is we've been in Iraq for 19 years. We've been in Afghanistan for 19 years. They're still trying to get us into war with Iran. They're still trying to get us into war with Syria. They're still trying to use the same playbook. And you know, sort of the good news is that I think people are just sick of it and they're waking up. And now I think if you were to go around and ask, I wonder if there's been a poll where people ask, do you believe 9/11 was an inside job? Because I would be surprised. I would be very surprised if it was less than 50% were awake to this. I think more than half the people in America understand that there's something we don't know about 9/11.
And I think a lot of people are going more to sleep about it now. Cause I mean, if you look at, like you were talking about the what was 9/11 really about? It could be about all these different things. Well, one of the things for certain was it was an excuse to invade countries illegally and completely destabilize them. The PNAC, the official PNAC, which has always been public and official, claims that it's to westernize them and to make the world a better place. And there are many conservatives and many people that will accept that. But that's not what it was, obviously. That was to destabilize them as an excuse to take a bunch of angry, aggressive, young, military age men and thrust them into Western countries all over the world, which is what we've seen. I don't believe any of this was by accident. I believe this was all planned. And because of the evil aftermath of 9/11 and because of the fake news in the Trump era and the trauma that all the liberals have experienced in the Trump era, people are going to be more asleep to 9/11 now because, you know, it's interesting. Now a lot of these, you know, average American liberals are now embracing George W. Bush.
Right.
Simply because he speaks out against Trump and because he seems buddy-buddy with Obama. And so it's like they went from like the left-right dichotomy to now it's just, they're all just support the establishment. The establishment's good and Trump is bad. And so I realized also like 9/11 trying to, and I think 9/11 and JFK, I think these are like the most important things. And these are things that are often overlooked by even a lot of conservatives, you know, a lot of people that believe in freedom and truth, you know, and I think these are the most important things. The only way we're ever going to change anything is to go back and follow that web through 9/11, through JFK, and that's a good amount of our government.
Yeah,
but that's what. But if anything less than that happens, it's just some type of reformation.
Yeah, and of course the other valuable thing in the minds of the globalists was the way that really America did. It came together and was like ready and willing to do whatever it took to try to avenge 9/11. So we can take that lesson and kind of look into the future to go, okay, they're going to abuse this aspect of us. This, and again, it's always whatever our greatest virtues are is what they twist and turn to our own destruction. And so it's a good thing to see your fellow Americans be heard and demand, all right, we need to do something about this. We need to come together and we need to fight back against this. That is a good reaction, in my opinion, but it can be abused. So now, you know, they did it to unify America to carry out their illegal wars. What are they going to do next to bring together the world under one world government? It'll be something similar to 9/11, but on a greater scale.
It sounds over the top when I go on air and I explain that the controllers of the planet want to carry out the extermination of the entire human population, except for a few of what they call their new transcendent silicon gods. But that's really what they're now externalizing. They're now taking what was in their textbooks and white papers 30 years ago and actually openly announcing it everywhere. They're going from beta to operational. And think about all these major corporations. They tell you humans are horrible. They tell you humans are a parasite. They tell you that we've all got to be gotten rid of. And then they won't let people see their old folks in nursing homes and then ship in COVID to kill them. That's all organizing as a beta test for larger operations. And everything is a microcosm and a laboratory test of larger scalability of what they are now beginning to roll out. Look at how they're banning medical doctors from promoting therapeutics that are absolutely essential to stop viral infections like COVID-19. This is all absolute information control. This is beyond 1984. It was a sleeper product. It wasn't popular at first, but as people tried it, it's become one of our top five bestsellers. I'm talking about the 8-pack Power Stack. 13 different pills filled with super nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and more that you take in the morning in one pack and at night. It's available right now at 60% off for a limited time when you get it with Survival Shield X2 that's now back in stock. This has changed my life and so many other people's lives. Now, here's the problem. Some of the patented ingredients that are in 8-Pack Power Stack, because of the shutdown and the lockdown, are not available for us to even reorder it. So this could be the last shipment that we ever have. It's in stock now. Take advantage of this new combo special, part of a larger sale we have, and free shipping on these sale items like 8-Pack Power Stack and X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage and get 8-Pack Power Stack with X2. 60% off and free shipping. Biggest deal on this ever. It was in the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that all new cell phones would track your GPS location. I read from the federal law and listeners couldn't believe me because that was un-American. Now the media admits that almost every app and every company that are on Apple and Androids don't just track your location, but your surfing history, where you go, who you talk to, your relationships, and they all share the data with each other of what you're doing on the apps as well, including having apps turn on and listen to what you're saying, just like Siri or Alexa do, and then putting databases, transcripts of everything you say into those systems to be saved forever. Your phone is spying on you, and companies are generating secret surveillance scores based on information. This is the global Chinese Communist Social Credit Score. Get your protection privacy pockets at InfoWarsStore.com and cut Big Brother off dead in his filthy tracks. InfoWarsStore.com. Constantly, whether it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, or Howard Stern, you name it, they come out and they attack InfoWars saying, Jones claims civil war is coming, and financial collapse, and planetary lockdowns using viruses, and he tells people they should get off the grid and get prepared and have storable food if they can. And now everything I've warned people about is coming true because it was all in the Rockefeller Foundation documents like lockstep. This is the corporate planetary takeover. So yes, I stand by what I said 10 years ago, what I said a year ago, and what I said last week more than ever. Get your high quality storable foods at InfoWarsStore.com. That's one of the key check marks of the check boxes you gotta have checked off. InfoWarsStore.com, and their delivery is now 1 to 2 weeks. Get it before the next big rush comes. Take action. Get the best durable food at the best price now at InfoWarsStore.com, and it supports the InfoWar.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the David Knight Show on the 19th anniversary of 9/11. And I have a feeling, as much as I want to talk about all the other stuff going on today, I will be talking a lot about 9/11 today. And I suppose that's right. We are sort of the headquarters of the 9/11 was an inside job movement over here at InfoWars. And I'm proud to be a member of this organization. Obviously, I wasn't back then, but you know, I got here as quick as I could, as they say. And joining me today is an InfoWars foreign correspondent, the InfoWars correspondent, I should say. Dan Lyman is on the line. Thanks so much for coming on, Dan.
Always good to be with you, Harrison. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Now, you're in Europe now, obviously, from your accent. You grew up in America. You were probably in America on 9/11. So let's just get the typical thing out of the way. What was sort of your experience? Did this cause you to wake up? Were you in the dark about this for a while before it came to light? Or how did you experience the truth behind 9/11?
Well, interestingly, on 9/11, I was only 2 hours north of New York City. I was going to school in New York at the time, going to college there. And so I was at school with a lot of people who were from the city, or were from Long Island or the metro area. And so it was particularly devastating for the people that I was with. I wasn't from New York, so I didn't necessarily have too many connections down in the city at that time, but everyone around me did. And it really shook everyone, of course. It really rocked the foundations of the world for a lot of my friends at the time. And, we were hearing about it very quickly as it was happening while we were in class. So, you know, they always say everyone remembers where they were on 9/11 and when the planes hit. So it definitely was a very jarring experience. And I saw what a lot of people were going through, having lost family members and friends and colleagues and, all sorts of folks that were close to them. And a lot of kids were going through a very difficult time that day. And it was very scary because we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know, what else was coming after that. And I know that a lot of people can share that sentiment. So, at the time I was just 18 and kind of in the dark about things for sure. Definitely was not red-pilled, so to speak. And my gut reaction would have been along the lines of what many other Americans would have been in terms of, you know, we need to right this wrong and, what needs to be done from here. And, being young and kind of uninformed, I would say I probably just went along with the general narrative, you know, that we needed to immediately go into war and, try to, you know, obtain retribution. But in the years that have passed since, I've certainly changed my opinion as to what transpired afterwards and what may have transpired beforehand.
Right. And that's sort of that's actually, strangely, it's a sign of maturity, isn't it? To be able to look back and go, you know what? I was wrong about this. And this is one of the things I found for years. And I think, again, it's lessened now as people see how dishonest the media is. And they understand the true scope of the ability of the government to be dishonest and to lie about things and attack their own people. It suddenly isn't quite so far-fetched that 9/11 would happen. But for years, it was like people, even when they understood, like, okay, there was really no reason to go into Iraq, they held on to it. Right. And it's kind of a human thing, right? If you make a mistake, to kind of just refuse to believe that you actually made a mistake. Go, no, but it was right anyway. I was still right anyway. And it's actually kind of a sign of maturity to be able to go, you know what? I was tricked. I was lied to. I was all for the Iraq war. I wanted to get in. I thought it was a righteous thing, but now I realize that was wrong and I regret that rather than holding on to that and going, I don't care if it seems wrong. It was right at the time. So it's good you've been able to make that change. And I think, more people are sort of seeing that's, it's okay. It's okay to look back and go, man, we never should have been in Iraq. And people that were diehard Iraq war supporters back then are coming around now and are going, you know, that wasn't right. We shouldn't have done that. And we need to be more discerning in the future. Do you think that's a fair assessment? Or am I just seeing the world through rose colored glasses here?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I even have friends and family who have been in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. And even until recent years, they would have sworn by that and, you know, their intentions for doing it and their intentions for going, which I consider to be 100% honorable. And I admire that. However, in recent years, I have noticed a shift even in their tone. And they say, I don't know why I was sent there. I don't know why we're there at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. So, you know, that the attitude has definitely changed in recent years. And, I think that we can definitely give so much credit to the fact that Americans, of all walks of life right now are waking up to the fact that we have been lied to about so many things. And right now, the most glaring example, of course, is what's going on with the coronavirus, the amount of lying that's gone on and the amount of damage that the lying has facilitated for the government and the entities that push the narrative, such as the media and the big corporations. And I think at this point we are witnessing an awakening amongst the American people. And there cannot be a better time to revisit what occurred 19 years ago and start asking more questions about what happened that day and beforehand.
Yeah. And this is something I think, hopefully sort of transcends politics and is the type of thing where if you're on the left or the right, we can shake each other's hand and go, we were screwed over. We've been effed over by whoever. If you think it's the corporations, if you think it's foreign countries, if you think it's our own government, the simple fact of the matter is we've been lied to, we've been tricked into destroying ourselves and we've lost all of our liberties. And so maybe we can't go back and reverse what's been done, but we can use that lesson as we move forward into the future and try not to get tricked again. And you have a wonderful website called Border Hawk News. It's borderhawk.news. It really focuses on the immigration issue, illegal immigration and legal immigration in Europe and America. And you have this article up there now, remembering 9/11 in a woke year. What do the heroes of September 11th mean in a year of hating police officers? And I just think that's an interesting thought, because it's true. We see this weird dichotomy of people who basically hate America, hate our institutions, hate police, and attack firefighters often. And yet they're claiming to be American hero. You know, they're claiming that they're the ones that got the 9/11 money and all this sort of stuff. So what's your takeaway from sort of how people are approaching 9/11 in this day and age?
Well, that's definitely an interesting point. That article was written by Daniel Greenfield, a fantastic writer over at Front Page Mag. And, you know, I hadn't even considered that angle. But in this era of anti-American sentiment, anti-first responder sentiment, anti-police sentiment, and, of course, anti-sentiment against the current administration, and Donald Trump has been as close as we can get to a truth teller about the 9/11 situation as we'll get, you know, in the government, and also just really, really prominent figures. He has raised a lot of questions about that. And for that reason, the MSM and the Bush family and the Clintons, they hate him even more, because, you know, he really pressed the Bushes on that issue during the debates. And so, yeah, it is an interesting question just to see what the sentiment is right now. I could see a large swath of this radical Marxist movement between BLM and Antifa. I wouldn't be surprised if they're happy that this happened. I think that they probably were happy to see this happen. They're happy to see the long-term effects that it's had on so many of the family members, and also of the many first responders who are still suffering to this day from sicknesses and injuries sustained during their time, you know, rushing into the buildings, being the most heroic people on the scene. So I would imagine that, especially with the younger crowd in the Antifa BLM movement, who may not have even been born at the time when this happened and don't have any connection to the visceral feeling that it evokes in the rest of us who were.
Yeah, it must be strange. I know, talking to my younger cousins about this, who don't even remember 9/11. Like, they don't remember it. It's a historical event for them, even though it happened during their lifetimes. It's still, they don't have that visceral reaction to it. And, you know, people call it, the second Pearl Harbor. And of course, then you look into Pearl Harbor and you realize that didn't exactly happen naturally. You know, there are things that America did that maybe precipitated that as well. And of course, you're right that people on the left, you know, you heard Hassan Parker of the Young Turks say, we deserved it. America deserved 9/11. I never say we would deserve 9/11, but it is worth it to look into what our actions overseas have been, and what inevitable consequences may come of that. More with Dan Lyman on the other side. EuropeWars.com, BorderHawk.news. Those are some of his websites. Stay with us, folks.
As of 54 days out, the globalist child molesting devil worshippers know they're in trouble, and they know Trump's going to win in landslides. They're saying they're going to contest the election and plunge the country into civil war. And they are throwing hack attacks at InfoWars, dirty tricks, attempts to shut us down. It's incredible. That's why now more than ever, your financial support at InfoWarsStore.com is critical. It's what keeps us in the game. We've only got a few months of backup. If money wasn't coming in, we'd be shut down, and that's not good. We need to have extra money in our coffers to be able to expand in this home stretch, not just contract. We're winning, but these scumbags aren't going to give us the victory without a fight. So I know you're going to step up at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got free shipping on a bunch of our best-selling items, a bunch of new items that came back in stock. We've got privacy pockets so your phones don't track you, great supplements, books, films, T-shirts, and so much more. Get prepared and fund the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com. God bless you all.
As men age, they often experience a slowdown in vitality, energy, and overall wellness. And that's why we made one of our most popular formulas to date, Super Male Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper balance to create superior vitality in males. Now look, this unique formula promotes your body's own natural responses, and it contains no synthetic chemicals and no unwanted additives. Yes.
We're talking about ancient wisdom combined with modern technology, working together in perfect synchronicity to help you get the most out of this herb-packed formula. So what are you waiting for? Go to the InfoWars store. Never been a better time than right now. Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've always had a pledge from me, and it's that I'll come to you with the truth, at least as good as my human temporal truth can get, because as the Bible says, we all see through a rose-colored, darkly, kind of a foggy lens that distorts what we actually can perceive, so that everything we do is actually a fallen sin. Everything we do is actually a twisted distortion of God's will. So when I tell you I'm telling you the truth, it's the best truth this fallen creature's got. But I'll tell you, it's all I got. And when I tell you that this country and the world is under major satanic threat, you don't need me to tell you that. You can look out the window. You can look into your own family. You can turn on the news. You can see it. But you've got this commitment. I do recognize the truth of God, and so do you. We're going to win this fight, but it's going to be hard. And I want to keep InfoWars in the main position to fight, and it only happens when you support, which you've been doing. So, again, I thank you. But go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy the product, spread the word, because that's how we're going to win. Again, I thank you all.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested. Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. The Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Harrison Smith. There you see the David Knight crew here at the InfoWars headquarters. My guest today is Dan Lyman. You can follow him on Twitter at Citizen Analyst. And, of course, EuropeWars.com. That's InfoWars Europe. And BorderHawk.news. You know, all it takes is looking through the headlines of InfoWars today, everything from the way the deep state has been empowered to the point that it's now basically openly attempting to perform a coup against our president. You look at the way that disasters have become unquestionable, right? You have to go with the narrative now. And you just look at all these headlines across InfoWars, and you can sort of trace the line all the way back to 9/11. So many of these things got their start or were able to be implemented as a result of 9/11. And you look around the world today and you just wonder, what would the world have been like without 9/11? What path could we have gone down? And clearly we're in a far, far worse state now. But Dan, just to you, what's been the biggest fallout of 9/11? And what do we, as we look around the world today, what do you see as sort of the worst consequence of what happened that day 19 years ago?
Well, I guess the obvious answer would be the wars. The amount of death and wounding and destruction that in many ways the U.S. federal government, the military-industrial complex has been responsible for, thousands of lost American lives, thousands upon thousands of lives lost of citizens of other countries, innocent people, the maimings of so many of our greatest men and women who have been sent over to these places to basically sent into the meat grinder for no good reason. And, you know, I was talking about that with a friend yesterday. And, you know, I don't think we can put a price or a calculation on how much bravery from the United States has been basically sucked out of the country and sent over to foreign land since 9/11. How many brave, honorable, decent people who otherwise would have spent the last 20 years on American soil, raising families, doing good things in their communities, and perhaps even have been able to prevent where we're at today to some large degree if we had many of these people, cultivating strong communities on American soil. We might not be in the position that we're in at this point. So that's really one of the saddest things, in my opinion, and one of the largest sacrifices that has been made. On a personal level, I really am opposed to the TSA. I can't stand the flying experience going through airports. What a joke it is at this point. And that has reached worldwide. I don't know how many people fly outside the U.S., but the way that the security checks are performed outside of the U.S. are made to mirror in many ways the way that they're performed within the U.S. And very frustrating. I've had many, many a horrible experience at TSA, and that's not how it was. For those of you who don't remember what it was like to fly beforehand, you could meet your family member at the gate as they walked off the plane. You could enter the airport having gone through much less strenuous security checks done primarily by private security and through just metal detectors that are far less harmful than these X-ray scanners that they use now. And things were a lot more civil and cordial at the time. So that's one of the things that I hate the most, just as how it's affected me, let's say.
Yeah, and it's all about psychological programming, right? It's well, we need to do it here in the airports for airplane safety, and then a few years later, it's well, we need to have them in malls as well, just in case, and schools as well, just in case. And there's a severe psychological damage that's done when you're essentially forced to strip in front of a stranger, which is what those X-ray machines do on a psychological basis. You know that you are being completely exposed to total strangers who have been empowered by this governmental structure. And it's all this sort of boil the frog, psychological trauma manipulation in order to control people. And it's fairly blatant, but if you have the excuse to do it in one place, that begins the slow creep up the chain to where they want, where it's everywhere and always, and you're always being watched. And then, of course, we see just with the Antifa and the BLM riots and just the absolute hatred of America, a lot of which is sort of rooted in this idea that we are an imperial nation, that we go into other countries and blow them up and destroy them, and that's not honorable, it's not right, it's not good, and so why should I have loyalty to that? So much of what we're seeing today can be traced back to just everything that came about because of 9/11. Well, what do you think about that? Specifically just the idea of the anti-American sentiment being sort of codified or justified by a lot of our actions in the Middle East.
Oh, sure. I see that sentiment all the time. Anytime that there is something that happens, a terrorist attack in Europe even, or in right. The United States, when something bad happens, I will often see, well, that's the karma you get for destroying these countries. And I always have to say, I have nothing to do with that. I do not support that, what we've done. So in many ways, we can be blamed for these things that happen to us on our own soil because of what our governments and the deep state have done to other countries using our military.
Yeah, and obviously we've never seen since then a terrorist attack on this scale. But you're there in Europe, and Europe, of course, is sort of ground zero for the invasion of just millions upon millions of people from the Middle East going into Europe and living there and committing terrorist acts on a smaller but still devastating scale in Germany and England and other places. Do you think this as well? I mean, obviously it is sort of a fallout because it's all the wars that have occurred in the Middle East that drove people out, that caused people to be refugees. I wonder if there's a sense in Europe that, for people that are against the Muslim immigration, if they go, damn it, America, this is your fault for causing all of this nonsense in the Middle East that drove all these people here. Or if it's part of the guilt that says, hey, I guess we have to let them come over because it's our fault that they got displaced in the first place. What's the general sentiment there in Europe, Dan?
Oh, there's definitely a guilt factor. There are plenty of people of the mind who say, well, yeah, and of course, European militaries participated in these wars as well. So they maybe not to the same degree as the United States, but they also do. So they can say, we destabilized their country. It's our fault. So we need to let them come here and we'll take care of them here. I give you a great example, kind of like a reflection of 9/11 in some ways. And another example essentially of a false flag attack that has been perpetuated against the Greek citizens of Greece and also now Europe, the spillover. And it all relates to the same situation playing out over and over and over again, and basically our governments being at war with us along with the media. And that is essentially on the island of Lesbos in Greece. They have basically what's the most notorious and overcrowded migrant camp in pretty much in all of Europe. It's the most well-known. Most recently, they had 13,000 people on this island that only has a few thousand normal inhabitants. And the camp there that has been designed years ago to hold 2,000 to 3,000 people has held upwards of 20,000 to 25,000 people at a time sometimes. Now, these migrants have been demanding that they be allowed to continue on to Europe. They've basically been trickling off the island thanks to the efforts of the UN and the NGOs and the EU, moving them from the island to the mainland. But there is a perpetual massive crowd of them on this island, and they're always trying to figure out a way to get off.
Yeah.
And what they have figured out is that if they cause mayhem at the reception center there, then in groups they'll be taken off if they can basically get the NGOs to vouch for them and say, oh, well, this building was damaged, so we need to send a few hundred people that were living there. We need to send them to the mainland. Well, earlier this week, the migrants there, according to the Greek government and the locals on the ground, they set fire, massive fires to this camp and basically destroyed basically the whole thing. And so they've now have 13,000 people who effectively have nowhere to live at the moment. And immediately the media was in full operation alongside the NGOs and the globalist organizations to say, we need to get all these people off the island and we need to move them to Europe. And there was very little discussion in the mainstream media of who set the fires. All they would say that was that fires had ripped through an overcrowded camp and that we need to move these people. There was very little reporting on the fact that these people set their own fires and were flushing themselves out. So in effect, that is a false flag to perpetuate this constant movement of people that we have seen speed up in the last 20 years and certainly in the last 5 to 10. And that is all a trickle-down effect from 9/11 as it has played out in the last two decades.
Yeah, God, really incredible stuff. And I know we covered Greece quite a bit in the beginning of the year before coronavirus and everything. I was focused on that quite a bit because it seems like Turkey is just literally sending people over in almost militaristic fashion. And there were giant clashes there at the gates last year. I mean, it looked like a scene out of Lord of the Rings. It was just insanity. And it's still going on, just maybe not getting reported on quite as much, which is why we always enjoy having you on. Thanks so much for being on with us, Dan Lyman, at Citizen Analyst on Twitter, EuropeWars.com. Because, folks, this is not an American battle. This is a worldwide battle. This is humanity against the cabal, humanity against the globalist. And we need boots on the ground worldwide to get that truth out there. Thanks so much for coming on, Dan.
Cheers, and all the best to everyone today on this somber day.
Thank you very much. Very good stuff. I guess we're revisiting trauma. I guess that's what we're doing. We're revisiting trauma, and this is our little therapy session here. It's crazy.
The clock is ticking on the once free world, and the free press is under attack more than ever. I now see videos 10 or 15 times a day without even trying to find them of press being arrested in the United States, press being arrested in Canada, the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And it's always the so-called liberal left, the defenders of speech, doing it. They are the authoritarians. They work for the Chi-Com globalist combine. And they are working around the clock to silence InfoWars. Just as we were the group they started with 3 years ago, they test out everything new on us. And a lot of it I can't get into on air at this point. I'll be able to reveal this later. But I just want to make you all realize that your support, your word of mouth, your prayer is absolutely essential, and I thank you all for it. But whatever you do, take advantage of the great products that support the InfoWar and make your life healthier and better at InfoWarsStore.com. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com today. There is a metaphysical rule that God has put in place that controls the universe, and it's free will. That's why the social engineers, the robber barons, the globalists, the post-humanists, the anti-humans openly tell you what they're doing and openly tell you that you're worthless and crap and you need to die because that will save the earth. But they do everything they can to make the most dystopian, ugly future they can in the movies and in the culture and in all the different publications. They are making you hate yourself. They are making you be depressed. They are making you not have a connection to God because they just want you to die so they can selfishly control the future. And that's what all this is about. You know, they say they're setting up world government to protect us all from our super technologies, while they're the ones running around like mad scientists, endangering the whole planet with a lot of these technologies. The globalists are what is disruptive to human species. They call us disruptive to their power grab. It's time to say no.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks, to The David Knight Show. The second hour has begun. At 10 a.m., I will be joined by Ethan Ralph of The Killstream, and then at 10:30, Richard Proctor of Bathroom Economics will join me. He is a massive constitutionalist, and, you know, that's the most important thing we can focus on today is how do we get back to the Constitution? How do we get back to where we were? We're in a strange position where the revolution we want is not to institute new laws, but rather just get back to the old common sense laws under which we once operated. It's very difficult situation to be in, precarious sort of situation. Of course, on Infowars.com, I believe very shortly, I think it should be at 9:37 Central Time, when all of the videos of Alex Jones on September 11th will go up. But for the next hour, I'm going to try to move away from 9/11 and focus on some of the problems facing us here and now. So I want to go to a video here, really breaking down. And there have been many of these, obviously, but it's worth it to listen to these. We're going to go to clip 14. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, I got a haircut. I was able to get a haircut without giving my information over to the Stasi, without surrendering my, what do they call it, contact tracing information to the Nazi collaborators at the barbershop. I found a barbershop that didn't make me do that, but they did make me wear a mask. And it was probably the longest period of time I had worn a mask this entire experience. It was like 10 or 15 minutes. I've never worn a mask for that long. And it was brutal. It was like I couldn't breathe. I was falling asleep in the barber's chair, maybe from lack of oxygen. Just like the whole thing just made me exhausted and out of place. And if people wear this for hours a day, of course this is going to be damaging. This is awful. It's terrible. I don't understand how you can put a mask on and not realize that this is detrimental to your physical and mental health. It seems so obvious to me. But here's a doctor destroying the hoax of mask wearing and the risks associated with the prolonged use.
I'm a medical doctor. I'm an ophthalmologist who specializes in ocular inflammation and immunology. I'm a former medical editor that knows how to read the medical science. I read more than the titles and the abstracts. I look at the methodologies. When I looked at the methodologies of the science being used to support community wearing a mask, I found a real paucity of solid, high-level science. In fact, we've been studying this issue for over 30 years with regards to the transmission of influenza in the population. One of the reasons that we have never recommended the community wearing of medical masks is because it's been shown in the highest levels of science, randomized controlled trials, meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials, to not be effective. That hand washing, social distancing, masks add almost nothing to that equation. So it has a very marginal, at best, efficacy. And those studies are in healthcare workers and hospital settings in which we have an optimal environment with high air exchange, low temperatures, nothing like what our community is encountering. Now, in general, I think we should always resist medical mandates. We don't need lawmakers intruding upon the medical decision-making that should be left between a patient and a doctor after fully informed consent. They need to consider the risks, benefits, and alternatives. In this issue of community wearing of medical masks, we have not done a fair risk analysis for the population. We have not informed them that the mask can block arterial oxygen, can block oxygen intake significantly. That's been demonstrated in experiments all over the world. It's been studied in surgeons in an optimal environment where there's a higher level of oxygen in the operating suite, higher exchange. I've worn a medical mask in surgical procedures over 10,000 times. And I can tell you that they do induce physiologic changes. I'll start to develop a tremor after about 30 minutes of mask wear in that high air exchange, higher oxygen level, cool environment. Imagine what untrained members of our community are doing when they are wearing them in the Oklahoma summer.
The craziest thing is you can show that video of a doctor using scientific evidence to back up an argument against masks, and the sheep still won't believe you. They still want to wear the mask.
The mask is more than just a symbol of subservience, being a blind follower, not knowing facts and science. It's a symbol that you have been turned into a subhuman. And they tell you, you are non-essential. Remember, first they said no more industry, you'll be a service economy, and now they tell you service is non-essential. This has been the post-industrial world plan the whole time. In Operation Lockstep and other documents, the Rockefeller Foundation admits that this is how they're going to slowly teach you to be totally poor, and under their control, so you can finally be starved to death of nutrients and then killed with very, very weak bioweapons that won't affect anyone that actually gets their RDA of vitamins and minerals. And so that's the plan for you and your family. Now I know you're tuned into this broadcast, you check this out for yourself, you know it's true. So let's start warning the sheep. Let's start educating them now. I just went and swam at the lake, and I walked around for 20 minutes educating people after I got out of the water. It's that simple. We must take action now or be slaves forever. This is life and death.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. So much to talk about today. 10% of the population of Oregon has been forced to flee their homes as a result of wildfires in that state. And a lot of suspicious activity going around around these fires. A lot of hints that these may not be accidental after all. We may be seeing a concerted and organized effort to start fires all across the west coast of America. And we'll go to some of that information very shortly. Of course, the other stuff going on today, the Netflix cutie saga continues with this borderline pornographic material and people defending it and other people canceling Netflix as a response to it. We'll get into that as well. Of course, the football NFL is back, I guess, and they're getting booed for promoting Black Lives Matter over their own, basically instead of having a national anthem, we're going to pay homage to Black Lives Matter. It's all a little bit absurd. But folks, we bring you all of this because of people like you who go to InfoWarsStore.com and support what we do here. You'll see the occasional individual standing up against the lies of the mainstream media, but we are a juggernaut of truth in this world. And, you know, if you look back and see the way that InfoWars and Alex Jones in particular has been instrumental in waking up America. And today on 9/11, 19 years on, you see not just the effects that 9/11 has had on the globalist ability to shut down our freedoms here in the United States and use this as an excuse to wage endless war in the Middle East. But you also see the corresponding awakening of humanity and rising up of the intelligent questioners of the narrative as they break free of the shackles of ignorance and grasp onto that flaming ring of truth. And so folks, if you've ever had appreciation for the ability of Alex Jones and us here at InfoWars to break through the morass, break through the lies and disinformation of the mainstream media and bring the truth to you, even if it's just to inspire you to question and research for yourself, well, please do show your appreciation by going to InfoWarsStore.com and taking advantage of the incredible sale that we have now, which I think may be the biggest sale we've ever done. Because Alex is desperate to simply clear the warehouse and just get rid of all of the products as soon as possible, because We see the hammer coming down, honestly. We see the way that big tech and the media and all of these various globalist organizations are really gearing up for November 3rd and the election. And we're trying to get ready for it ourselves. We see the attack coming, and we're trying to prepare our best. Please help us prepare by going to InfoWarsStore.com and taking advantage of that incredible sale. So I want to go to a video now. This is a ham radio. It's somebody's listening in to the emergency frequency in Oregon. And just listen to what comes across the emergency radio there in Oregon. This is clip 15. Did you hear that? That was a report of at least one car driving down the road in Oregon throwing Molotov cocktails out of the window. Folks, they're burning down cities. They're assassinating people in the streets. They're gearing up to lay siege upon the White House. They have stated their desire is to see the fall of America and the implementation of a communist government. Is it out of the realm of possibility that they would also start forest fires? I don't think so. And look at the media. They've lied about the fires started in cities around the country. They've lied about who's involved with the riots. They've lied about the purpose and organization of these riots. They have concealed the truth in every possible instance that it could lead to discernment and understanding of what's truly going on. Antifa radical arrested for arson in Washington state was caught on highway live streaming on Facebook before arrest. That's from the Gateway Pundit. So you'll see a little bit of this on the alternative news, but the mainstream news, is it beyond speculation to think that even if they knew that these destructive, absolutely devastating fires were caused by leftists, were caused by Antifa, maybe caused by illegal immigrants, is it beyond the scope of believability that the mainstream media would cover up for this, would hide or obfuscate the reality? And this is the level, I think, of distrust I personally have for the media, because I see this headline from BuzzFeed.news. When they came to an Oregon town to take pictures of fires, armed locals thought they were Antifa arsonists. They weren't. That's the subtitle. They weren't. They weren't, though. To me, I read this headline and I go, okay, they're starting fires. They're starting fires. If they're coming out with this, oh, we're but poor innocent victims who these armed bad right wingers were chasing us. We were just taking pictures. We weren't doing anything bad. And maybe they weren't. Maybe these particular people weren't starting the fires. But this stinks of a cover-up. This fills the air with the stench of lies and obfuscation. And they tell the story about how they were just going down to Oregon to take pictures of the fires. Of course, they say they'd spent the last 90 days, 90 of the last 100 days, capturing the protests in Oregon. Now, if there's one thing we know about people wearing press badges and acting like journalists in Oregon, it's that that's a convenient cover in which to carry out your destructive tactics. So I don't know, maybe these people are named Trumbly and Paulson, and they say, oh, we were just innocently taking pictures, and then suddenly there were all these rumors going around about Antifa starting fires, and they are just they're strictly victims. They weren't doing anything wrong. Maybe they weren't. Maybe I'm not saying these people in particular were doing anything. I'm just saying this is the level of distrust really, you know, inspired by the insane levels of dishonesty we've seen come out of the mainstream media, that if I see BuzzFeed News rush out to print something that demonizes right wingers and uplifts and tells you how innocent BuzzFeed readers are, yeah, I'm a little bit suspicious. In the same way that when Vice goes and interviews a murderer and allows him to completely lie about what happened without questioning it at all, give a platform to him, spread that message, even though it was a complete falsehood. Why should I believe BuzzFeed News when they say, oh, nothing was going on here? We were just taking pictures, of course. And then, of course, as the article goes on, they talk about, you know, oh, these insane rumors going around. These crazy rumors that are being started. They say the panic in Oregon appeared to stem from a woman in a Facebook group called Malala Now, meant for locals to share information about community events. Again, this is just their tactic, right? This all started with this bizarre rumor on Facebook in this right-wing group. And of course, it's not till later, much farther down the article, that you see this. And again, they have to couch it in these terms that make you question the reality of it, even though it's completely true. They say a vague Facebook message by the Malala Police Department posted Wednesday evening fed suspicion among the rumor and fire-stricken residents. So basically, the Malala Police Department put out a tweet saying, please report any suspicious characters or activities seen around the area because we think these fires are being started. We think there's arson happening. So the reality of the situation is the police have information that they think these fires might be started by arson. They put out a warning to the community to say be on the lookout for people that are suspicious. People spread that around. And then when they see suspicious people, people who were clearly Antifa from Portland wearing Antifa getup and their fake press badges, and they report them, and that gets all twisted and manipulated into there are insane rumors that are inflamed by the police department, and really the innocent victims are the Antifa members from Portland that were just being good boys and didn't do nothing. It's all lies.
I don't want to say I'm a prideful person. I am a humble person overall. I come off as aggressive and things because I'm under threat, you're under threat, and I'm fighting as hard as I possibly can, and I appreciate your support and your prayers, but I know I come off as obnoxious sometimes, and I wish I did a better job, so that's why when you call in thanking me all the time, it just kind of makes me feel pathetic because I guess call it pride. I don't like begging you all the time to try our products or to donate or to spread the word or to pray for us. I just know that's what keeps us on air. And so I want to thank you. It's put the cart before the horse to call in and thank me. Listen, I'm committed to this just like you are. So understand you're my equal 110%. And I just want to thank you all. I want to thank our crew and our affiliates and everybody else, man. I just want to stay in this fight. And it's so serious now. And things are getting so clear now. That's why they want us off air, because all of our credibility is so high. Let's just stay together, fight hard, spread the word, and pray to God to take us through this. We're going to make it.
The ultimate fluoride-free charcoal mouthwash is now available at InfoWarsStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com for the lowest price possible to complete your daily mouth cleaning routine. It is the perfect companion to the new activated charcoal toothpaste, all under our new line by Dr. Jones Naturals, that will naturally give your mouth and breath a deep clean. This mouthwash only uses the best natural ingredients like real peppermint oil, thyme oil, xylitol, and of course, high-quality charcoal. Not only fluoride-free, this mouthwash is completely free of other dangerous ingredients such as SLS, harsh detergents, BPA, and so much more. As soon as you use it, you can tell that this formula is the real deal. So get your bottle of the new activated charcoal mouthwash right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You can watch a factory of robots being controlled by wireless internet commands. But if you were a person just 200 years ago and you saw that, you'd think it was magic. You wouldn't even know really what the machines were or what was controlling them. So for that person, it would be spiritual, or it would be something of the spirit. And it's similar to how ducks and butterflies and many other species of animal know how to fly thousands and thousands of miles back to the exact place where they were born. They're following magnetic lines. They have magnetic cells in their brains. We now know scientifically what's going on, but there's even a lot more than that. So when we talk about the spirit, we're talking about all the dark matter. We're talking about all the things you don't understand, but we know it's there. And just like you can have a bunch of robots working off a wireless system, that's what's going on with this satanic transmission that's working through people. And that's how this entity behind it all is able to direct it, because it is a consciousness manipulated through the space-time continuum. Well, Well, Mark Zuckerberg on paper 2 weeks ago put in hundreds of millions of dollars with Bloomberg to launch this Operation Red Mirage to contest the election when it's overwhelmingly clear that Trump has won on election night. Now he's come out in a statement and told all the media in the United States that they better get behind saying that Trump basically lost, and that they're not going to let Trump declare victory, even though it's overwhelming. They'll have 95% of the vote done on election night, and even if you added all the other votes in against him, he'd be the winner. They are going to steal this election. They're preparing everyone. You've seen all the scams they've already run. Trump is surrounded by tyrants, but he has We the People, and he has true media. Not independent media, the real media. So now more than ever, it's critical to share the live streams, the videos, the articles, and the information at InfoWars.com, because the globalists fear it most, because we were the first to expose their plan to contest the election and drag it out to keep the American people from re-electing President Trump.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
This is just amazing. So you have this story, right, from BuzzFeed News saying these poor innocent Antifa members were just photographing. They were just engaged in photography there in Oregon and became the victims of a vicious rumor mill that said that maybe they were the ones starting the fire. And they're very quick to demonize anybody having an emotional reaction to the idea that these fires that have ravaged the state of Oregon and Washington and California have caused 10% of Oregon, the population to have to flee their homes and cause untold damage, that would be arson rather than something natural. People are a little bit mad at that and are now on the lookout for people that may be causing these fires. But they're very insistent that these people were not doing that. Therefore, You can't speculate. Don't speculate about this. Don't pretend like this is arson because, well, these people were falsely accused, perhaps. And then the article goes on. While police in Washington did make an arson arrest yesterday, it was long after the fires began spreading and in a different state. So you don't need to pay attention, even though they did arrest somebody for arson. And yes, that person was a BLM activist. And yes, he did live stream his own arrest after allegedly starting the fire. His name is Jeffrey Accord. He's 36, from the town of Paliup. He called 9/11 Wednesday evening to report a fire in the median of near Tacoma, Washington. They then were suspicious of him and arrested him. He was seen walking down the median with a lighter. The Paliup police says Pierce County has a great team of law enforcement in this county, serving all citizens in our county and many different agencies. We're happy to be a part of the team. This was a great arrest today. That's in response to Trooper Ryan Burke saying, joint team effort. We just arrested a 36-year-old Paliup resident. He was caught in the median setting a fire. He's currently on his way to jail. But you want to know the most interesting thing about all of this? What was his excuse? When they found him starting a fire in the median, what did he say he was really there to do? Any guesses? Any guesses at what maybe was his alibi? Would you be surprised to know photography? Would you be surprised to know that when an officer questioned Accord's presence, the suspect claimed he was recovering recording equipment because the camera case he was carrying allegedly flew out of his backpack? He was just looking for his camera. He was just trying to do some photography. Now, he was starting a fire, allegedly, and used the excuse of, well, I'm just a photographer and I was looking for my equipment. Now, the people in Oregon that were claiming to be photographers and were accused of starting fires, they're totally innocent, and how dare you question them, right? Yeah, completely insane. Now, of course, just to remind you, just to refresh your memory, news flies by so fast here. In January of this year, Australia was ravaged by fires, devastated. I mean, I think of something in the millions of acres, if I'm not mistaken, Australia burned by fires. And then you go and look into that. Of course, at the time, it was once again, as it's being used now, this is climate change. President Obama came out, all these fires are terrible, climate change, it's all climate change's fault. We don't need to look into it. We don't need to do investigation. We don't need to question anything. We have climate change to blame everything on. We have the solution in our back pocket to this problem that suddenly seems to have sprung up. That's what the Australian fires were blamed on at the time. Of course, it wasn't long before this was all shown to be a lie. From USA Today on January 7th, 2020, teen firefighter is among dozens accused of igniting fires that have ravaged Australia. Almost 200 people in North South Wales alone were charged because of these Australia fires. 24 people charged with deliberately lighting brush fires, 53 accused of failing to comply with the fire ban, and 47 accused of discarding a lit cigarette or match. Folks, is this a conspiracy theory still? Are we crazy for thinking that as it happened in Australia, it may happen here? That there are hordes of un-American psychopaths that have been empowered after month upon month upon month of utter destruction being unopposed by the American government? That maybe they would go out and, as they are wont to do, start fires in the forest? You know, on a brief tangent from the New York Post, California man charged with trying to torch GOP woman's club. Okay, so they'll burn buildings, but how dare you suggest they burn trees, right? That's too outrageous. They'll burn flags. They'll burn Bibles. They'll burn humans. They'll shoot humans dead in the street. But they're just taking pictures of the burning trees. Of course, we heard from the radio, just now reports of people throwing Molotov cocktails out of cars. The article from Law Enforcement Today: series of wildfires on the West may be coordinated and planned attack. Now, they have an update basically correcting some misinformation that said that there were several Antifa members that had already been arrested. They say no, that's an untrue rumor that there are six Antifa members arrested. However, these fires are popping up all over the place, and they don't seem to be so accidental. I covered it just a second ago, the Pulliap police arresting a man accused of starting a fire in the median there, saying, oh, I'm just here for my photography equipment. Another arson suspect was arrested in Spokane after allegedly starting multiple fires. Christine Camello, 36, was arrested after allegedly starting multiple fires in Spokane on Monday. This officer arrived on the scene where he witnessed some grass and a pallet outside of a commercial business on fire. There is reasonable evidence the fire was started by a human and not lightning or telephone poles. The officer also spotted another fire a few blocks away. This one was next to an old oil drum under a tree. This could cause the fire to explode to something much larger. The Spokane Fire Department responded and extinguished that fire. More units arrived in the area and detained Camello. She originally lied about her name, but it was discovered she had a warrant for her arrest. Witnesses identified her as the arsonist. As a result, she was booked for second-degree arson, first-degree arson, and burglary. So this is definitely something suspicious about this. On Wednesday, September 9th, firefighters arrived to someone attempting to start fires at the Dexter State Recreation Area and Oregon State Park. That park is along Highway 58. This is one of the few places people can travel in Oregon and not deal heavily with the fire. So one of the few places not ravaged by fire. You had somebody attempting to start a fire there. The man had arm tattoos and was starting fires in the bushes near the dam. Luckily, several people helped extinguish the fire before firefighters could arrive. The suspect has a black German Shepherd and he's driving a green Ford or Chevy SUV. And the police are asking you to be on the lookout for that. In Salinas, California, 37-year-old Anita Esquivel is in the Monterey County Jail for arson. California Highway Patrol confirms Esquivel was arrested for allegedly starting fires intentionally along Highway 101 near Boronda Road. This occurred after 9 a.m., but the number of fires were not released. Law enforcement sources throughout Oregon and California did confirm for us that investigations are underway to see if a number of these fires are tied together. Really incredible stuff, folks. You don't see this promoted widely on MSN. You don't see this promoted widely anywhere else. And yet, it seems to me, there's something to look into here. These people are psychopaths. They're crazy. They'll do whatever they think they need to overthrow the United States. Burning it down is just next on the list.
I don't want to be right about this prediction. In fact, it's not a prediction. It is a forecast. If we continue down the economic road we're on globally with the ongoing COVID-19 lockdowns and the destruction of productivity, it will continue to accelerate these ripple effects that are breaking down supply chains that will starve tens of millions of additional people in the third world and destroy decades of human infrastructure that's been built. It will annihilate the funding of that and put the entire first world in even deeper debt, which we're being maneuvered into. So I really think the smart move is to end all these lockdowns immediately and prosecute the people that launched the giant COVID scam, the giant COVID con game. It's really just a big power grab. But in case we can't reverse all this, we better start digging in and getting storable food and getting prepared to be self-sufficient, because that's the name of their game, is to make us dependent on them. So get self-sufficient now, InfoWars.com. It sounds over the top when I go on air and I explain that the controllers of the planet want to carry out the extermination of the entire human population, except for a few of what they call their new transcendent silicon gods. But that's really what they're now externalizing. They're now taking what was in their textbooks and white papers 30 years ago and actually openly announcing it everywhere. They're going from beta to operational. And think about all these major corporations. They tell you humans are horrible. They tell you humans are a parasite. They tell you that we've all got to be gotten rid of. And then they won't let people see their old folks in nursing homes and then ship in COVID to kill them. That's all organizing as a beta test for larger operations. And everything is a microcosm and a laboratory test of larger scalability of what they are now beginning to roll out. Look at how they're banning medical doctors from promoting therapeutics that are absolutely essential to stop viral infections like COVID-19. This is all absolute information control. This is beyond 1984. Ever wondered why big tech acts in unison to create monopolies and are so incredibly anti-human, love to censor people, love to cover up for corrupt authoritarian regimes and dictatorships? Well, it's very simple. The first computers ever created were created by Thomas Watson, the founder and owner of IBM, to carry out eugenics. And they helped run the death camps in Nazi Germany. That's what the tattoos were on the slaves' arms. It would decide who lived and who died. So from the beginning, it's been about creating monopolies, cornering markets, and making humans obsolete. The same people brought us baby formula that doesn't have enough protein and fat in it to make your child's brain small. The same people that said put babies in cribs separate from their mothers that lowers IQs about 20 points on average as well. These are hardcore eugenicists, survival of the fittest, social Darwinists. Grow up, world. Admit the truth. Quit being soft smuts and letting these globalists run your lives. They are your mortal enemies. They want you dead. Do you understand that? The trick that social engineers use is very, very simple. They just teach us that the architecture of civilization, that the trajectory of the species is designed by these ever-knowing, loving, liberal technocrats, and that if we just sit back and enjoy the ride, everything will be great. But then they tell us that humans are obsolete, non-essential, that we're bad for the earth, and we need to be phased out. So they're very open about what they're doing, and they count on us just being very passive, living in the matrix-like system that they're building. But what defines humans more than anything from the rest of the, quote, animal kingdom is that we control our environment. We build our own environments. We create our own systems. We really geoengineer and terraform the planet and its systems towards our aims. But instead, we're acting like animals, letting the globalists play the part of humans and us as cattle. And that's the trick.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back to the David Knight Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. It's so interesting how populations are manipulated, and sometimes in completely opposite ways, right? You have 9/11, this event that caused all of America to come together. The divisions that seemed so important the day before were suddenly washed to the side as we all came together as Americans in unity. and support of one another in a time of nationwide trauma. And that togetherness, that unity, was used and manipulated and exploited to take advantage of America and force us into endless destructive warfare and essentially destroying our country from the inside, destroying our liberties, having all the excuses they needed to install any scanning systems and spying systems and the NSA and all this crap that we now have, all found its excuse in 9/11 and was put forward by this unity that we felt as a country. Now we're facing a different manipulation, an opposite manipulation, actually. Now they want us divided. Now they want us at each other's throats. Now they're desperate to increase and maximize the division we feel with our fellow Americans. Are we in a lose-lose situation here? Or are we just being manipulated, thrown around like a rag doll? Of course, the NFL held a game yesterday. There were very few people at the stadium, I guess, because of COVID. But there was a moment of Americans speaking out against the manufactured division, ironically, during what they're calling a moment of unity. These are the satanic inversions that they're involved in, right? When you are performing an action that emphasizes division, you call it a moment of unity. So I want to go to this video now. This is clip number 4. It's the Kansas City Chief fans booing this so-called divisive moment of unity. You hear the booing and the hissing. Not sure if you can hear it in this clip. In another one, you can hear somebody shout very loudly, "Trump 2020!
Thank you."
They're like, "All right, okay, that's enough. That's fine. That's great. 10 seconds, that's great. That's our moment of unity. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for our moment of unity." People are sick of this, folks. People are sick of this. And it sort of gives you another sort of insight into another one of the uses of COVID-19. Don't let people gather in big groups, because then they might express themselves. Then they might let everybody know what they're thinking. Keep them divided. Keep them at home. Keep them silent. And then you can project whatever national sentiment you want to pretend is going on across the country. People are sick of this. They're sick of the faux outrage, the faux division. And again, it's just very strange that it's like, we're going to have a moment of unity for Black Lives. And it's like, that's the division. And that's what people are booing against. They're booing the division that they're creating in us. And David Knight put it very well in a tweet where he was saying that, people are sick of hearing millionaires lecture them about privilege. Somebody else said it even better. They said illiterate millionaires, people who have no discernible skills other than playing a child's game and being paid tens of millions of dollars to do so, and then telling you that you're too privileged. There it is from David Knight. "How do you like the new and improved NFL? NFL plus BLM equals unity," says USA Today. USA Today says fans are racist for booing. "Do you like being lectured about privilege by multimillionaires or about racism by predominantly black NFL 70%? Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. We demand appropriate representation in the NFL. How dare them hire so many black. Black people are 13% of the American population. They should only be 13% of the NFL players. That's the rule, right? That's where we are now? Or is that only applicable in one direction and can be ignored in the other? It's all absurd. It's all fabricated. It's all manufactured outrage in order to control, divide, and destroy us. And what better way to do that than to teach people that their entire history is that of slavery? That, of course, is the goal of the 1619 Project. President Trump has come out and said, if you teach the 1619 curriculum, which I remind you came out, I think, in 2018 and was a media push by the New York Times, who came out the 1619 Project. It was a series of articles. It was a podcast. It was a series of shows. It was something that was just pushed out en masse. It was literal propaganda. Again, this is not like the consensus of a bunch of history professors that have all come to this new understanding. No, this was pure propaganda. And I can prove it unobjectively. You cannot deny what I'm about to show you, because you have TMZ saying Trump can't, quoting the creator of the 1619 Project. Her name is Nicole Hannah Jones. She's furious that Trump would block her propaganda from getting into American schools. She says Trump can't block 1619 Project in schools. More specifically, she says Trump can't stop schools from teaching true history, which, of course, she is saying that 1619 is the true history that Trump is trying to stop them from preaching, which is interesting because here's a tweet from the 27th of July from Hannah, whatever her name is, the creator of 1619. She says, quote, "I've always said that the 1619 Project is not a history. It is a work of journalism that explicitly seeks to challenge the national narrative and therefore the national memory. The project has always been as much about the present as it is about the past." She goes on to say, "The fight here is about who gets to control the national narrative and therefore the nation's shared memory of itself. One group has monopolized this for too long in order to create this myth of exceptionalism. If their version is true, what do they have to fear of 1619? So this is just the dishonesty, just the sheer level of duplicitousness that goes on. And this woman is the one being, this woman is the one who is trying to brainwash your children, who is being propped up as the New York Times as, you know, the arbiter of history. And again, I ask you, how many times over the last several months have you heard the phrase 400 years of enslavement, 400 years of slavery, 400 years of oppression? All of that is a direct cause or a direct result of the 1619 Project. And you should start paying attention because you'll start seeing it everywhere. Every single day, you'll see somebody use the term 400 years of oppression. And you have to understand that term was not used before this year. Nobody thought of America as having been founded on racism, as racism and the slave trade and the history of oppression of black people in America dating back to 1619 and been uninterrupted, unchanged 400 years of oppression. It's an absurd idea. And yet this is the power of propaganda, that this small cabal of elitist racialists can come out with this, push it through their organs in the mainstream media, push it through their organs in academia. And then within a very short time frame, you have people on the street have fully absorbed this. They don't even realize it. They've taken it in. They've absorbed it like a sponge and they're spouting it back out. And to them, it has become gospel truth that blacks in America have been oppressed for 400 years and it's still going on. They're still basically slaves. And the foundation of America is inextricably tied to racial exploitation. And they've absorbed this. They've taken it in. They believe it wholeheartedly. And it's pure propaganda, but it truly shows the power that propaganda has. But what happened yesterday with the fans of the Kansas City Chiefs booing the forcibly fed, the fabricated, manufactured outrage of division and their claims at creating unity by constantly bringing this up, you see the power of humanity to reject the propaganda, stand up against the propaganda, and let everybody know that finally, for once, we will not be cowed and humiliated and shamed into accepting attacks on our country. It's amazing. Yeah, kneeling for the flag, disrespecting the flag, that's perfect, that's fine, that's great. Oh, but booing a moment of unity for a fake problem, that's racist. You can't do that. 400 years a slave.
Allergies, dander, asthma, germs, toxins. There are many reasons why we need to think about what is really in the air around us. We may not be able to stop breathing, but we can control what's in the air we breathe. The revolutionary Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration system is a powerful ally in the fight against the dangerous toxins and viruses in the air. Powerful, quiet, and effective, the Breeze uses a four-step purification process to help you breathe easier and cleaner. Similar systems could cost hundreds to even thousands of dollars. But the Alexa Pure Breeze air purification is the best and most affordable, bar none. The Breeze and the Ion Cluster patented technology used in the system eliminate up to 99.97% of airborne contaminants. Get the Alexa Pure Breeze today and save big on a world-class air filtration system for your home. Don't keep breathing toxic or dangerous air. Get this special today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've always had a pledge from me, and it's that I'll come to you with the truth, at least as good as my human temporal truth can get, because as the Bible says, we all see through a rose-colored, darkly kind of a foggy lens that distorts what we actually can perceive, so that everything we do is actually a fallen sin. Everything we do is actually a twisted distortion of God's will. So when I tell you I'm telling you the truth, it's the best truth this fallen creature's got. But I'll tell you, it's all I got. And when I tell you that this country and the world is under major satanic threat, you don't need me to tell you that. You can look out the window. You can look into your own family. You can turn on the news. You can see it. But you've got this commitment. I do recognize the truth of God, and so do you. We're going to win this fight, but it's going to be hard. And I want to keep InfoWars in the main position to fight, and it only happens when you support, which you've been doing. So, again, I thank you. But go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy the product, spread the word, because that's how we're going to win. Again, I thank you all. Ignorance does not equal bliss. Ignorance equals slavery. If you're ignorant, walk through a field at night that there's a six-foot hole up ahead, you're going to step in it and probably break your ankle, or maybe worse. Well, it's the same thing happening to human civilization. The industrialized age really empowered humanity in many respects, but also took us away from the land, made us very, very domesticated and very, very easy to manipulate. And now corruption and predatory activity can hide behind that complexity. Now, I know what's going on behind the complexity because I go read what the UN and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Davos Group and the Bilderberg Group and all their subsidiaries, like the Club of Rome, say. So I know exactly what's going on. Not because I'm even that cool or special of a person, but I'm actually want to be empowered and informed because I'm a history buff. I know that those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The globalists think you're stupid. They laugh at you because you won't research their own admissions. You know, listeners call into the show and they thank me, and it makes me feel pathetic because I sit there and I beg you for support constantly, for prayer, for financial support, and for word of mouth, and we're all in this together. And it gets old having to come to you and say, hey, I got great products, please buy them or we won't be here on air. But it's true. We're the only media organization in the United States that promotes liberty at this level that is not beholden to big corporate sponsors. And they've harassed and almost shut down everybody else. They've crippled all the other groups. And we're still here. And as this whole new world order comes out in the open, our credibility's going up. That's why we've got to be taken off air. That's why America has got to be taken down. You can't have all these other nations enslaved and America still quasi-free. You can't have InfoWars has been proven right being on air with all the craziness that's about to unfold. Because if you think stuff's bad now, just get ready. So thank you all. And get into InfoWarsStore.com. Get some great 2020 election shirts, supplements, and so much more. They're wonderful products, and they support the InfoWar. Thank you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
InfoWars, information warfare. What a great name. What a appropriate name for the conflict in which we are now engaged. Because it sort of surmises everything, doesn't it? It sort of encapsulates everything that we're doing here. Waging informational warfare, trying to get the truth out, the forces of reality against the forces of the manufactured fiat reality in which we are more and more being pushed. And yet there's more to it than just information, right? It devolves into culture war, devolves into political war, devolves into literal physical war on the streets. And yet at the base of it all is information war. But we'll talk about the cultural aspects of that in the next hour with my guest Ethan Ralph. Let's focus now on what is the biggest threat to America herself, probably in the history of our country. There has probably never been a time in the long storied history of the American nation, perhaps with the exception of the Civil War, in which the survival of our republic is at greater threat. Never. There has never been. How do you emphasize? How do you get across just how dangerous it is that people in the military, globalist leaders of industry, are all openly, actively, advocating a coup against the sitting American president. They're not hiding it. They're laying the groundwork in open air. They're doing it right in front of your face. Twitter now says it will remove any tweets, quote, claiming victory before election results have been certified. They say starting next week, we will label or remove false or misleading information intended to undermine public confidence. What are they saying? They're letting you know they're going to steal the election and ban anybody that points it out, up to and including the president of the United States. They're letting you know right now. How many times have I said this? Just in the last week. Exactly that, right? I've said exactly that, that they are going to overthrow the president. They're going to cheat through mail-in ballots. They're going to claim victory, and they're going to ban and eliminate anybody that points this out. Anybody that says these results are not real, you'll be gone. Anybody that says we cannot stand for this, well, you're advocating violence. So you'll be gone. Another story from InfoWars.com. Transition Integrity Project founder suggested a military coup against Trump days after the inauguration. They've had 4 years to put their plans in place. Oh, and they've been working behind the scenes. Make no mistake about it. We've been covering it extensively here on InfoWars. But it only gets worse. From Breitbart, Twitter will censor Trump if he claims early victory on election night. Or as Twitter puts it, label or remove unverified election result claims. Will flag Trump if he claims early victory. Of course, remember, to them, they don't serve our institutions. They don't serve American interests. They serve something greater. They serve their globalist masters. In the same way that they're able to take down Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyer for posting arguments that he will be making in court. See, the court is our justice system. The court is how we as a society and a civilization have decided that we will resolve conflict. That we find the truth by allowing two sides to present their arguments in open court with a jury of their peers and a judge to oversee the proceedings. That's how we find the truth. That's not how these people find the truth. That's not how Twitter decides the truth or Facebook decides the truth. They've already decided. They've already cast him as guilty. He's a mass murderer. If you dare to support him, they will kick you off those platforms. That's who they serve. Not the American people, not the American system, not our structures of government or truth or justice. No, they serve their agenda, their narrative, their lies. The same way that supporting Kyle Rittenhouse will get you kicked off because he shot people who were attacking him. They kicked off Patriot Prayer, whose member Aaron J. Danielson was gunned down in the streets of Oregon. Doesn't matter if you're a victim or if you are accused of a crime. They'll destroy you because it's not about truth. It's not about serving any philosophically higher goal. It's about serving their higher goal of control, manipulation, fear, and subjugation. It's despicable. And it's the greatest threat. It is the greatest threat. I mean, it is coming. November 3rd, it is coming. It is here. It will happen. In less than a week, the so-called siege on the White House begins. That'll continue through November 3rd. I mean, it's all just completely insane. So at a time when our cities are being burned by mobs of raving communists who, even when arrested, are released the next day without charges, when forest fires are consuming entire states and possibly being started by those very same arsonists, as our country devolves into civil war, as our major media companies publish what is essentially child pornography and then refuse to back down and stand up for it, claiming, oh, well, it won an award. So how dare you question it? At a time when big tech is openly announcing they will censor any attempts to combat the coup against the United States. In a time when we are under the most immense pressure and the most incredible danger that we've ever experienced in the last 150 years at least. What's our government doing? What are our so-called representatives doing? What are Republicans doing? I know some of them are tweeting. Yeah. Yeah, they love to tweet. what's his name? Josh Hawley? Is that his name? Senator? Said, maybe Netflix would want to come explain this to a congressional hearing. It's like, hey, man, why don't you stop tweeting? Start using the power that we've invested with you. It's not like a congressional hearing ever amounts to anything either. What happened when Google and Facebook and Amazon and Twitter, what happens when they get up in front of a congressional hearing and lie through their teeth? Nothing. Nothing happens. So here's Josh Hawley saying, great, maybe Netflix would like to come talk this over before Congress. Here's Josh Hawley making an empty threat about a congressional hearing, which will come to nothing. This is who our representatives are. This is who's been charged and vested with the power to protect our liberties. They're cowards. They do nothing. Who has more power than a U.S. senator? Where are they? What are they doing? They're tweeting. They're tweeting. That's what they're good for. They want to be YouTubers. They have the power. They will not use it. And it's absurd. So what are they doing? What is the U.S. Senate spending its time on these days? Well, luckily we have video. As our country burns, as our civilization collapses and our citizens gun each other down in the street, as the entire foundation of our civilization crumbles beneath us, what are our people in power doing? Well, here it is. This is what they're doing.
Further proceedings on the quorum call be dispensed with.
Without objection.
Ask unanimous consent the Senate proceed to legislative session for a period of morning business, with senators permitted to speak therein for up to 10 minutes each.
Without objection.
Ask unanimous consent the appointments at the desk appear separately in the record as if made by the chair.
Without objection.
I ask unanimous consent the Senate proceed to consideration of SRS 688 submitted earlier today.
Clerk will report.
Senate Resolution 688 designating September 25, 2020 as National Lobster Day.
Is there objection to proceeding to this measure? Without objection, the Senate will proceed.
I ask unanimous consent the resolution be agreed to, the preamble be agreed to, and the motion to reconsider be considered made.
Thank God we've invested this government with unending powers. They can spy on anybody. They can capture anybody. They can jaunt across the world committing war crimes with impunity. We've invested them with power unimaginable 50 years ago. They have the world in their hands. And as they watch it crumble, what do? Well, they declare September 25th, 2020 National Lobster Day. Well done, gentlemen. Well done. Thank you so much. Your service has been unnecessary and redundant. You can go home now, you old man turtle looking jack butt. It's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And this is the reason I'm still a libertarian, because it's like, it doesn't matter how much power you give the government. They will never use it responsibly. They will never use it appropriately. They will never use it to protect you or your liberty or your family or your community or your lifestyle. They will use it to subjugate you, to control you, to destroy you, to rob you, to give your money out to their friends, and to make September 25th National Lobster Day.
Introducing InfoWars Life Pure Turmeric Extract. This is taken under the tongue. It is pure turmeric. It goes together very well with our body's ultimate turmeric formula that is taken as a powdered capsule and absorbed in the stomach and intestines. This is absorbed under the tongue into the bloodstream, and then the remaining also is then absorbed by the stomach. So it's more of an intense delivery system. The two formulas are different, but both are concentrates. And our first product got rave reviews. We've now been testing this out for several months. Some of our staff like it more than Bodies. Some like Bodies better. For me, they're both amazing for their anti-inflammatory action and so much more. And they fund the InfoWar. So get our new liquid turmeric extract exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com today. Get an additional 25% off. This is a 360 win. Turmeric is renowned for what it does for all of our bodies, for inflammation and so much more. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com.
In Germany, in Australia, in Canada, and now even in Ohio, every blue state, every blue city
is announcing that they are establishing emergency COVID centers for people that refuse to be tested or people that are tested but refuse to stay in place while the results are coming back, or those that supposedly break quarantine. This, of course, is all based on the tests that are over 90% fraudulent and were designed to be so. This is a power grab. The world government globalist system is in trouble. All over the planet, free peoples are trying to pull out of it. And every blue area, I use the term blue as if in the U.S. for blue for Democrats, red for Republicans, is basically globalist or communist and authoritarian. And they are using this as their cover for an authoritarian takeover because they know the world's waiting to them. It's a very simple equation. It's illegal. We must resist it.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the David Knight Show here on Infowars.com and Band.video. The third hour has begun. My name's Harrison Smith, sitting in today for David Knight. I'll also be back at 7 p.m. for the 2020 election countdown coverage here at Infowars. I'm excited to introduce my next guest in the realm of dissident, I guess you could say, right-wing politics on the internet. In the culture war, he has made himself a sort of a kingpin. He has survived in a world of rises and falls of redemption and corruption. He has, and his program Killstream has served as a sort of launching pad for many very popular personalities and very interesting conversations. It's a totally unique platform where really unencumbered conversation can happen and arguments can happen and conflict can play out in real time. It's very entertaining and can be incredibly interesting as well and informative as well. He always has a bunch of great guests. In fact, last week, Rex Jones and I were both on the program, and it was incredibly fun. And I'm happy to welcome him here to the David Knight Show. Thanks for coming on, Ethan.
Harrison, thank you so much for that amazing intro. I appreciate it. Yes, I host the Killstream. So many guests, so many shows, almost 700 official Killstreams we've done so far. And as you mentioned, you and Rex were on there last week. Amazing episode. So thank both of you for that. And thank you for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. And you've been on the David Knight Show before because you held a fundraiser for children's cancer research. And the Washington Post, I think it was, is that right? Came out and said,
Wall Street Journal, actually.
Wall Street Journal, okay.
I can't see the feed right now, but I think I'm on camera. There's the Wall Street Journal article. Somebody got it framed for me, and sent it to me. So I didn't pay them directly. I think they had to pay Dow Jones or whoever, News Corp, whoever owns the Wall Street Journal now, and they sent it to me behind me. It's framed on the wall there. Front page. That's right. Yoriko was the journalist there. Shout out to her.
Y'all raised like tens of thousands of dollars for cancer research that they then rejected based on this Wall Street Journal article, right?
That's correct. We had raised about $27,000 for St. Jude on a live stream, a version of the Kill Stream that's known as the Heal Stream, a special event that we did there. And I lost my YouTube privileges over that. So,
of course.
It was an epic show, though. I wouldn't take it back, but yeah, that was a blow. But yeah, shout out to the Wall Street Journal. But yeah, that was my last appearance, I think, on here. And we've had you on the show, four or five times. So there has been some crossover here or there.
No, it's always incredibly fun. It's a totally unique sort of atmosphere there. You stream on DLive, you stream on a couple other places. And I think probably there's a lot of people, it's a very interesting and robust corner of the internet, but a lot of people aren't really aware of it, which is why I like having people, like you on, because maybe they can then go and find your show and, find out that there's a whole community working sort of in the shadows because they've been kicked off of all of the so-called respectable platforms, right? And so, you've been sort of central in this, and a lot of other people have as well. What do you think sort of the result of this is, the impact that what you do, the Kill Stream, and so many others sort of that are in your orbit, what's the impact that y'all have had on the wider populace and general milieu of the American public?
Well, like you said, I mean, since we've been deplatformed and they try to, and you know, you guys have InfoWars have been building up for a lot longer, right? So they have more of an infrastructure there. So, it's kind of a thing where if you know, about this corner of the internet, and then you have people who stumble in or whatever, hear about the show. We have a podcast version of the show too. So it's not just live. That does help. A lot with people, you know, listening at work or telling their buddies or whatever about it.
A lot of it's about the guests that you have because you have really great guests and you have an open form debate format, where there's very little rules. It's kind of a free for all and it makes for incredibly exciting and informative. And it's like real debate. It's not this stilted kind of you talk, then I talk. It's exciting, vital debate. It's incredible. Ethan Ralph, his website, killstream.live. We'll be back with him on the David Knight Show in just 1 minute. Stay with us, folks.
I know I say it all the time, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you, the listeners and viewers of this broadcast, and all the stations and all the affiliates and sponsors and my family and the crew and just everybody out there. You know, the listeners and viewers, as I just said, this is such an epic struggle. And we've all been proven dead on. We've been proven we're right because we're being led by God. We have a spirit. And we're very humble about that. This is not us. This is God working through us. But, man, now it's so precious to stay on air. I used to think, you know, maybe I'll wake a bunch of people up and I can kind of recede into the background because fighting this thing 18 hours a day gets a little bit old. But now with evil so out in the open and everything we've said being vindicated, I never questioned what I was saying because I knew it was true, but I did question where they'd ever actually try to carry it all out. Well, now we know they're going to carry it out and then some. So we got to fight, and I just really appreciate you. We're in this together, and praise God, pass the ammunition of the info war. Again, take action, folks. This is it.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back to the David Knight Show. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Harrison Smith, sitting in for David Knight today. Please share this link at infowars.com or band.video. My guest is Ethan Ralph of the Killstream. The website is killstream.live. It's a podcast as well. It can be found there, and it airs every weeknight, Monday through Friday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and he can be found on Twitter at The Ralph Retort. So, Ralph, we're here 19 years after September 11th. My first question to you, who did 9/11 and why?
I'm kidding.
I don't know. Do you consider yourself a political actor, a cultural commentator? How do you see your role there as host of the Killstream?
I mean, we definitely cover politics. You mentioned the debates, colloquially known as blood sports on the Killstream. Yeah. And you talked a little bit about how it's more of a, I won't say no holds barred, but more of in that style and, you know, minimal interruptions, and stuff like that. But as far as being a political show, I mean, we definitely cover politics. It would be a lie to sit here and say, you know, you'd have to consider me some type of political actor, I guess, just by virtue of the guests that we've had on and the debates and, you know, the cultural topics we've touched on. But I mean, at the end of the day, I kind of see myself as an entertainer, to be honest, a talk show host. And we have people from a lot of different sides of the aisle. Last night we had a debate about the Cuties film on Netflix. It's been catching a little attention, I guess you could say.
A little bit, yeah.
And you know, there was a left-wing guy on there. We had a more right-wing guy who was a part of our cast already, Andy Worski. Shout out to him, by the way. So I don't know what you would say. I mean, we also cover internet drama that has nothing to do really with politics every once in a while. It's a weird amalgam there. But yeah, I would have to say I would definitely have to give myself a little bit of that political actor credit just by virtue of the guests that we've had and the topics that we covered.
I don't want to say oppression you face, but the opposition you face on political basis, I think, you know, the St. Jude refusing tens of thousands of dollars for, you know, child cancer research on political basis, I think. So maybe were you kind of forced into taking political stances?
I would say, I mean, just, you know, if my show was nothing but the internet drama part that I talked to you about, I don't think I would have any problems with, right. with being the platform. You know, maybe a couple issues here or there, you know, around the edges, but it wouldn't be like it is now. They don't deplatform me, for covering, you know, weirdos on the internet and getting raunchy about that or whatever. They deplatform you because of your political influence. When they kicked us off YouTube, we were the number one program, late night program from, you know, like 11 till 2 on YouTube, you know, thousands of viewers. And they didn't kick me off because I was talking about, you know, the stuff that Keemstar talks about, you know what I mean? They right. kicked me off because of the political edge, and the fact that we were getting a lot of, people who are not supposed to be watching this stuff. A big goal of these, tech companies and thinkers, quote unquote, are betters, is to roll back the web, 2.0 infrastructure and to reinstitute the gatekeeper type system that they had, throughout, I guess, you know, modern times in the United States. You really weren't able to bubble up quite as easily, as you are now. And they're desperately trying to roll the clock back on that.
Yeah. And that's why I like things like the Killstream, or other just creators that have moved, have been kicked off, have been eliminated. I mean, they tried to do it to us, obviously, InfoWars and Alex Jones. They, tried to completely eradicate us off the internet and we're surviving. You guys have been kicked off the major platforms, yet you seem to be, surviving and even thriving in your own way. Of course, I think Matt Drudge called it, the internet ghettos, right? You guys have been sort of sequestered off to the side, but it hasn't really slowed you guys down too much, at least from my perspective as someone who follows you. Maybe in terms of getting new viewers, it's hampered that. But it's good to know. It's like you guys, I mean, this is the real resistance, right? This is the real fighting back against the big technocracy and the total control of information and the cultural manipulation that you're under. It's you guys are like these small, scrappy, independent creators and artists and entertainers who are really struggling against this monolithic force trying to shut you down. And it's pretty uplifting. Have y'all been able to sort of get back on your feet since getting kicked off of all these platforms?
So really the struggle, and you brought it up, is, you know, the core audience, knows the Killstream exists. The people who watch the Killstream every day are going to find out where I am. You know, I'm still on Twitter. They haven't completely kicked me off everything. So they'll go find out where our new home is. Killstream.live, by the way. Completely great source to find out where we are, if something might change. But really the struggle makes, you know, it makes the struggle getting new viewers in there. And so definitely always encourage people to tell others about the show. Word of mouth is really important, but that's the main struggle, is getting new viewers in. When you're on YouTube and some of these major platforms, there's such big sites, you know, YouTube, I think is like the number two biggest site, period, website, period. And so there's people on there, that you're able to draw into the show. They see it on the trending back when they used to let these streams trend, and stuff like that. So that's the real struggle, but, I mean, you're either dedicated to it or you're not. I don't know what to say. And that's not to throw shade at anybody who's decided they just couldn't put up with the battle against big tech, you know, content creators who decided to check out. You know, I can't necessarily fully.
Oh, it's brutal.
It is maddening. It is maddening sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I completely understand. So I'm not throwing shade. But, you know, if you want to do this and continue on your path, and be sort of, you know, I guess you could say dissident type media, at this point, you're going to have to stay nimble. You're going to have to be in it to win it and in it for the long haul. So be nimble, you know, stay nimble. That's my thing. Always be on the lookout for new platforms, new, you know, fundraising abilities and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And we talked about it a little bit, yesterday. We're talking about doing the show today, about how you got your start and how you sort of got into this and kind of the unintended consequences of some of the events that preceded even 2016 that sort of laid the groundwork for Trump, laid the groundwork for the popularity of the dissident media. So how did you get started and how did it sort of lead into where you are now?
So I got started through a little online event, I guess you could say, and it's called Gamergate. That's how I came to prominence or semi-prominence or infamy or whatever you want to call it. Originally I started through Gamergate. That was a scandal within the video game industry, starting with Zoe Quinn, where she had some, sexual relations with some video game developers, perhaps for, you know, bonuses within the industry and stuff like that. And then it turned into some other stuff, you know, a kind of video game journalist, denigrating their audience and stuff. So it kind of both those things morphed together into Gamergate. And that's how I got known, covering that daily. And yeah, we were talking about, Gamergate pretty much being the big bang event, right. of this corner of the internet. You see so many personalities, myself included. You know, Sargon of Akkad, not necessarily my favorite person, but you know, he
Milo Yiannopoulos, a lot of names that our audience would recognize.
Paul Joseph Watson himself, was, you know, covered Gamergate, fairly prominently as well. And I vividly remember Paul Joseph Watson having, by the way, this is still a big account. That's still more followers than I have even now, but he had like 88,000 followers. And now he's over a million, you know, people like Mike Cernovich. A lot of these people came up through Gamergate just like I did. A lot of the tactics that you see now in these online activist campaigns, left and right, by the way, use tactics that were honed and perfected by Gamergate ad campaign attacks. You know, I don't want to say mobbing people necessarily online, but swarming them with facts that they don't want to accept. And yeah, so a lot of this stuff was pioneered through Gamergate. You look at Steve Bannon was a guy, who pushed, Gamergate a lot behind the scenes, directly responsible for a lot of the coverage of Gamergate on Breitbart, which was the big media platform that supported Gamergate pretty much. And you know, Bannon obviously, you know, ended up running Trump's campaign, and working in the White House. So I don't want to go as far as some of the lefties do and saying, you know, Gamergate was, blame Gamergate for everything, basically. I think that that's not the case. Donald Trump, obviously, in his profile, is why he's in the White House.
But you can't underestimate how effective or powerful or just the fallout from Gamergate, which is funny because, you know, like you say, now kind of on the internet, it's like, nobody really cares about Gate. It's over now. Like, you know, and people kind of joke about it and make fun of leftists for saying Gamergate gave us Trump. But there's truth to that. It's absolutely true. It's incredible, the way the world works and how, you know, some crummy game developer sleeping with games journalists. Suddenly, you know, you get the ball rolling and a couple years later, Donald Trump is president. You know, it's not that quite direct, but there is that sort of chain of causal events that has led us there, which is so interesting and fascinating. More with Ethan Ralph on the other side.
I don't have to tell you that fish oil is known to be so good for your brain, so good for your heart, so good for your cells, your cardiovascular system, your lungs, your sleep. It's amazing. Well, we set out a few years ago to go out and develop with top manufacturers the strongest, highest quality, purest fish oil out there. And this blend is amazing. Ultimate Fish Oil, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Wild anchovy purified fish oil, ultra pure Arctic krill oil, high quality wild caught salmon oil, vitamin D, vitamin E, supports optimal heart health, supports optimal joint health, supports optimal cognitive health, supports immune function, supports vascular health, supports circulatory health. It goes on and on. Get your ultimate fish oil discounted with free shipping right now at InfoWarsStore.com and ultimate krill oil as well. InfoWarsStore.com.
We here at InfoWars are proud to announce the first ever Kava Kava root supplement that is now available at InfoWarsStore.com. Kava is one of the hottest new breakthroughs in the natural health world today, though it has been used for hundreds of years in the Pacific Islands for its relaxation and euphoric effects. According to ancient Samoan legend, Kava was given as a gift by the sun god Tagaloa, who they considered to be the supreme ruler and creator of the universe. The Samoan people would drink kava tea during social gatherings and sacred ceremonies to loosen up a little. Nowadays, kava is used around the world by many who enjoy its serious benefits. The new Kava Chill by Dr. Jones Naturals contains a full blend of not only kava kava, but other herbs including, but not limited to, German chamomile, organic skullcap, and valerian root. We do expect to sell this new product quickly, so be sure to secure yours by visiting InfoWarsStore.com.
It couldn't have been scripted any better. That's because it was completely scripted, and we even know the names of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, and John Hopkins documents. We have the script, just like you'd have for a Hollywood movie. And it's designed to free civilization and have a post-Renaissance stagnation or new dark age and a total consolidation of all wealth and power in the hands of the kleptocratic post-humanist. The magnitude of this is unfathomable, but you can see all the checkboxes of tyranny are being marked carefully, every I dotted, every T crossed, a total societal vertical integration, takeover, medical tyranny, total surveillance. The big tech heads, on average, have had their wealth go up 35% in the last 8 months. And of course, Jeff Bezos has basically doubled his. Everyone is being forced onto their system, the post-human robot takeover. You're being made obsolete. I talk about all the horrible things that are happening, and I point out that the globalists are a eugenics death cult because it's true. I don't say it to scare you. A lot of people say, man, this show is dark. Well, you've got to know you're dealing with evil if you're going to defeat it. And if we just listen to the surface of what the NWO propagandists are saying, they have reasons to sell this garbage to the general public. But if you just scratch the surface, they're so arrogant, they've all written detailed blueprints of this plan. And more being honest about it. Because there comes a point where, as David Icke says, they have to stop hiding it and start selling it. So we're at the point of the emergence now. And it's coming out in the open. And some people, under mass Stockholm syndrome, are going to submit to any level of tyranny. But others are going to fight. This isn't like some old dictatorship that you could submit to it and join it and be okay. No. This thing is post-human exterminism. Research what that is.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. It's The David Knight Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for David Knight today. Please support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com. There's a great sale going on now. It's the Save InfoWars, Save the Republic, Save Yourself super special at InfoWars.com. 60% off, up to 60% off everything and free shipping on everything and all apparel, $17.76. Please do go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here, including this broadcast and these great guests that we have. In the next segment, I'll be welcoming Richard Proctor of Bathroom Economics. But right now, my guest is Ethan Ralph of The Killstream. The website is killstream.live, and his Twitter is at The Ralph Retort. And, you know, I didn't want to stick too much to Gamergate because it seems like old news, but I think people don't – not a lot of people understand the importance of Gamergate and how it's had the unintended consequences that it's had. In many ways, you know – To liken it back to 9/11, we're talking about the unintended consequences of that as well and how that caused a lot of people to question things and wake up and go, wait, things are not as they seem. I need to be looking into stuff and I can't trust everything I hear in the mainstream media. And Gamergate had sort of the same effect where essentially it was corruption in the gaming journalism sector and people – a lot of these tactics were learned. A lot of the smears that came about, right? It's people going, hey, I want my game reviews. Like, it's game reviews. You're going to lie about game reviews? This is absurd. And then there's like, well, you're racist and sexist. And it's like, wait, what was this? And so I guess, was this around like 2014, 15? I never actually followed Gamergate that closely, sort of on the periphery, but it turned out to be a major shift of the tide in the cultural war that we're waging, which is in itself just an aspect of the informational war. So it was around 2014 or 15. Is that right?
Yeah, it was 2014, August 2014, and then into September, really picked up towards, I guess, the end of August, beginning of September. And I think one of the one things about Gamergate, like you said, I mean, it is an older event, and it's hard to get into. Even back then, one of the big entry barriers was the just the intricacies and the day-to-day. There's so much material to learn. And like you said, it's about video game reviews. Do I really want to sink all this time into learning that? But Gamergate turned into something else. And one of the things that I really, I guess, was awoken to was how desperate they were to smear us as terrorists or some type right. of, violent type element. Now you see that every day. They do that to people online. But that was one of the first things that I noticed back when I was first getting involved. And I think a lot of people who got involved with Gamergate just weren't really fully understanding of how far gone the media was at that point, the types of dirty tactics they would use, targeting people's jobs, smearing them, as I mentioned, as terrorists. And I think it permanently woke up a class of internet user, and most of these are heavy, you know, power internet users who have a lot of knowledge about the internet and who are dedicated to, you know, if you make them angry, they might invest a lot of time into, you know, looking you up and investigating you. So I think they permanently alienated, a class of user on the internet and kind of, woke them up in a way that was very detrimental for their long-term goals. So I think that's the biggest legacy of Gamergate. And you see those people still doing other things now that's not really connected to Gamergate, but it permanently woke up a lot of people and kind of started the building blocks for a lot of the online activism and brought a lot of people together. Now, there were a lot of people who followed this, who would message me and say, I don't care about video games, right? I'm involved with this because it's the first organized pushback that's been effective against, the organized leftist media, basically, online at that point. You know what I mean? And feminists and stuff. And they were really starting to get a foothold. And, you know, we came out and kind of hit them in the mouth. Rhetorically, of course, and a lot of people were attracted to that, and it wasn't just about the video games aspect. It was about fighting back, basically, and I think that spirit's still carrying over to this day.
Yeah, you're right, because it was the sort of the first battle. It was the Lexington and Concord of the cultural war that we're still involved in now. And, you know, like the crew is just throwing up some Pepe memes up there. It's like the meme culture, the communication, the way, you know, independent users started creating their own platforms or their own channels to get this information out there to circumvent the mainstream media. It opened people's eyes up to the ruthlessness that these people would employ. And it did pave the way for the president, for the Donald Trump presidency in this very bizarre kind of historical whirlwind that occurred. I envy historians 100 years from now who will look back at this, or 1,000 years from now, you know, like we look back at the, you know, if you're a fan of history, the Catiline conspiracy or these conspiracies that set things in motion that changed the world. It's crazy that this is one of those things that people will look back at and go, look, we need to understand this in order to understand the path that the world took following these events. And, it's bizarre that this would be one of those things, but it truly is. And so, you know, now we're still in this insane culture war, and it's only gotten crazier, and they've only doubled down. Now, of course, you had the debate about the Cuties movie on Netflix, which has inspired so much vitriol and anger and hatred towards Netflix. I think rightfully so. It's totally disgusting that this is allowed to go on. What was the outcome of the debate yesterday over that?
Of course, I was the moderator. Now, to be fair, I've already come out publicly and said, you know, I wasn't in favor of the film, and obviously.
Right.
And kind of denounced that. Now, I'm not necessarily as worked up as some of my co-hosts and stuff, but I already said that. But still, I had to put my moderator hat on last night. I will say the guest that came on, more of a left-wing type guest, obviously, to defend the film, engendered a very passionate response from the Killstream live audience. I haven't gotten the full podcast feedback yet, but that was top five most angriest I've ever seen the Killstream live audience. And they were really worked up. I think if you ask them, they would say that Andy Worski won that pretty handily. Again, I was the moderator, so I have a policy not to like officially pronounce judgment, just to keep it somewhat fair there. But yeah, it was a very passionate show. This movie has whipped people into a frenzy, and it's not just people on the right either. And this came up a little bit last night. People naturally are revolted by this film, and you see it in the reactions online. It's not just people on the right chiming in under these tweets and commenting on these stories in a very negative way. I noticed Netflix, at least on my Netflix, they weren't featuring it on the front page. You had to search to find it. I don't know, maybe on other people's, depending on their viewing habits, Harrison, I'm not sure. Right. Maybe it might show up more prominently, but you had to search it to even see it on mine. I haven't watched it, full disclosure. I want to put that out there, but I couldn't even see it on the Netflix until I searched for it.
Well, and, you know, maybe they're not pushing it quite as much, but they definitely have doubled down on it. And again, it sort of exposes the arrogance of these people in the same way that, you know, with Gamergate, it's like, hey, can you just admit that, like, maybe you messed up and, like, apologize and we can all get back on track? Like, they won't do it. They have to double down. They have to, you know, emphasize that, no, we're right and we can do whatever we want. And this is a major aspect of the culture war that, as I say, you know, has been going on for a while and is only increasing now to the point that it's like, look, you either believe that, you know, children should be innocent and there's such a thing as man or woman, or you're an insane leftist that's like in favor of pedophilia and thinks there's 64 genders and it's just spiraled out of control and it continues to do so. But it's always entertaining, the Killstream. Ethan Ralph is the host, killstream.live, and on Twitter at the Ralph Retort. Thanks so much for coming on, Ralph.
Harrison, it's been a pleasure. You're awesome. Thank you, InfoWars. Have a good one. Killstream.live.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated, folks. And if you want to see some entertainment, go watch Rex Jones on the Killstream. You'll have fun.
I don't want to be right about this prediction. In fact, it's not a prediction. It is a forecast. If we continue down the economic road we're on globally with the ongoing COVID-19 lockdowns and the destruction of productivity, it will continue to accelerate these ripple effects that are breaking down supply chains that will starve tens of millions of additional people in the third world and destroy decades of human infrastructure that's been built. It will annihilate the funding of that and put the entire first world in even deeper debt, which we're being maneuvered into. So I really think the smart move is to end all these lockdowns immediately and prosecute the people that launched the giant COVID scam, the giant COVID con game. That's really just a big power grab. But in case we can't reverse all this, we better start digging in and getting storable food and getting prepared to be self-sufficient, because that's the name of their game, is to make us dependent on them. So get self-sufficient now, InfoWars.com.
Where the hell did this water come from?
InfoWarsStore.com.
We can't survive without pure, clean drinking water. So make sure that it's always available to you with the Alexa Pure Water Filtration System. This gravity-fed system filters through all the toxins and gets straight to clean, healthy, great-tasting water. Yummy in my tummy. Bring the purest, most refreshing water to your home by ordering the Alexa Pure Water Filtration System today from InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWarsStore.com.
Other systems just don't compare.
There is a metaphysical rule that God has put in place that controls the universe, and it's free will. That's why the social engineers, the robber barons, the globalists, the post-humanists, the anti-humans openly tell you what they're doing and openly tell you that you're worthless and crap and you need to die because that will save the earth. But they do everything they can to make the most dystopian, ugly future they can in the movies and in the culture and in all the different publications. They are making you hate yourself. They are making you be depressed. They are making you not have a connection to God because they just want you to die so they can selfishly control the future. And that's what all this is about, you know. They say they're setting up world government to protect us all from our super technologies, while they're the ones running around like mad scientists, endangering the whole planet with a lot of these technologies. The globalists are what is disruptive to human species. But they call us disruptive to their power grab. It's time to say no.
Big Tech is the global straitjacket of the New World Order. It is the enforcement system, the surveillance system. It's going to track everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you basically think, and then reward or punish you for those behaviors. And they're not liberals. That's a complete and total cover. They are monsters that love authoritarianism and are building towards a post-human world. Their mission is to destroy indigenous communities, annihilate small towns, annihilate all human culture, and consolidate us all, isolate us all, and then carry out our orderly extermination. This is their public master plan. And COVID-19 is the cover for the rollout of this digital control system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to get worse from here. When you see officials from Apple, Google, Facebook, Twitter, you are looking at people way more smart and way more evil than Hitler. They want to murder you and your family. You have been warned.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the David Knight Show. My name is Harrison Smith. I'm sitting in for David Knight today. And I will be back tonight at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for the InfoWars 2020 election countdown, Taking America Back coverage. I hope you'll join me there. I will have guest Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keepers, who is going to help, hopefully, let us know what we can do to prepare for what we know is coming, which is the coup against the American president, probably on or about November 3rd. We're already seeing everything be put in place for it. Operations being laid down. Twitter putting its censorship robot in ready position to take down anybody that dares to claim that President Trump won the election. They're announcing it, folks. It's no longer secretive groups hiding in the shadows. They're out in the open and letting you know exactly what they plan on doing. It's up to you whether you listen to them or not. Very shortly, I'll be joined by Richard Proctor. He's a member of the Utah Constitution Party and is the author of Bathroom Economics. And in fact, I understand that we have him on the line right now. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Proctor.
Yes, good. I'm glad to be here with you. Yes.
Well, very good to speak to you. And, you know, I was reading your introduction in the Utah Constitution Party, and you have listed there your major goal, your number one goal. And I think it's so interesting the way you frame this, and it falls perfectly in line with my thinking. You say your major goal is to get our country back in line with the Constitution. And so I think you're exactly right that we just need to get back. And we're in this sort of unenviable position. I almost envy people like Antifa or communists who, like, they have a whole new system that they want to impose. It's pretty clear. You get rid of our system and you impose theirs. That's their ideology. Whereas we're in this sort of bizarre position where it's like everything we want is already on paper. It's already law. It's already there. Our government just isn't doing it. So how do we get back to the Constitution? How do we have a revolution to get back to where we were before?
Well, you know, I've been talking about this now for over a year. We need to get the Constitution out and learn what it says. If we don't know what it says, we can't get back to it. How do you return to something you don't know what is? And so, you know, I wrote this book specifically to help people understand what the gentleman in 1787 meant when they sat down in Philadelphia and wrote that document. I do.
Yeah.
That is, I analyze it paragraph by paragraph so everybody can see what it is we should have. And then I, in the book, Saving the Constitution, I go through the steps, how we lost it and what happened and why it occurred and who did it and how it was done, step by step. And we just need to get back there. We need to return. Now is the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second. We can't quit, but boy, have we lost a lot of time.
Yeah, we've seen, of course, the Constitution has been more or less shredded completely. Of course, obviously today is the 19th anniversary of September 11th, and this has been probably the most major event that has allowed the most constriction of our rights and our liberties and the destruction of the Constitution. So, you know, we've had 200 years, but in just the last 20, we've seen just absolutely insane amounts of destruction of our rights and liberties. So what's the first step? You know, if you've laid out all the steps of how it's been destroyed, do we reverse those in reverse order, or where do we start?
I would say, and this is actually quite simple, but it doesn't seem to get across. I would say that there is, first, you cannot put a person in office unless you belong to a party. All these independents who say, I'm independent and they're proud of it, have given up their franchise to vote for anything but president. Why do I say that? Because they cannot put anyone on the ballot. They must be a member of a party to put anybody on a ballot. So they must always vote for who somebody else chose. They can't choose. So having that as a background, there is a party, the Constitution Party of the United States, that wants to return to the Constitution, and they can put people on the ballot. So the very, very first thing is to become members of the party and vote with the people that want to get back to the Constitution. And there will be people, more people there if we had more members of the party. We're only running about 120,000. That's terrible. with the goals that we have and the situation we're in, and there's only 120,000 people that are interested enough to become a member of a party that will help defeat these problems? Now, that's the first step. The second step is to elect those people into office. State level is the most important. Federal level is, well, I consider it gone. The state level is the most important. If you just elect senators and representatives to your state legislature, you get enough people that care about the Constitution, they can begin the process right in the state with nullification. Nullification of things that do not are not in accordance with the Constitution. Let me give you an illustration. There's a legal dictionary that these guys all go to. Supreme Court analyzes it. Everybody looks at it. It is the legal document. It's called Black's Law Dictionary. That dictionary says very clearly, when it's talking about amendments to contracts, that an amendment can't alter a contract, can't change it. It can add to, it can correct errors, but it cannot change the words of the contract. So any amendment that's put in our lexicon of laws, you might say, that alters any words in the Constitution itself is null and void based on the law, Black's Law Dictionary. It's kind of like this. If I was going to build an outhouse here, a really nice outhouse too, you know, wallpaper the sides, everything. Okay, a guy came in and gave me a bid of $10,000 to do this. And I accepted because I want a really fancy gold seats, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so I want a really fancy. When he finishes, he comes and gives me a bill for $15,000. Wait a minute. This was $10,000. Oh, no. I did an amendment, changed it to $15,000. We wouldn't pay him, would we? Same thing. If he came with a $10,000 payment and I said, well, I'm going to pay you $5,000, they'll say, wait a minute. I can't do that. You owe me $10,000. No, no, I made an amendment and I changed it to $5,000. That's what's been going on in our documents. So let's look at one specific amendment that we all hate, we all hate. It's called the 16th Amendment and the IRS and the direct taxes on the American people. That is completely unconstitutional. And to do that, they had to alter the words of the Constitution. In altering the words of the Constitution, it becomes null and void, and any state that has the backbone to do it could stand up and say, we are not going to honor that. Nobody in our state will fill out a 1040 ever again. It's against the law. We'll throw them in jail. Hmm. The government cannot put the state in jail.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I guess, you know, on with your metaphor, if that were to happen, you would – I guess go to a judge, you would use small claims court or something. There would be sort of an authority that would arbitrate that and go, no, you're not allowed to, you know, they would, ideally they would punish the guy or, you know, just not allow the guy to have changed the contract.
But let's back up a minute here. If that happened, let's say that happened in the state of Iowa. Nice state, Iowa. Let's say that happened in the state of Iowa. A part of the nullification would be all federal court overreach. All of it. They have to go back to the third article. I don't know what the third article says, and they can't understand what that means. Because there are only 8 powers of the federal courts, only 8. And 1.5 of those powers was taken away in the 11th Amendment, which, of course, is also null and void because it changed the powers of the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court legally has 8 powers, and none of them encompass any of the things they're doing. So you would never go to a federal court in the state of Iowa. You'd go to a state court. And a state court in the state of Iowa would understand what the legislature has done, and they would back you up 100% and throw the case out.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's about, you know, the sort of the more decentralized you can get, the better, obviously. States is better than federal, and I'd say city control of your, you know, voting for the right people to take control of your city is more effective than voting for the state. It's a lot about decentralization. We will get more into this on the other side with Richard Proctor, his website, bathroomeconomics.com. Stay with us, folks. It's the David Knight Show, and we'll be right back.
The trick that social engineers use is very, very simple. They just teach us that the architecture of civilization, that the trajectory of a species is designed by these ever-knowing, loving, liberal technocrats and that if we just sit back and enjoy the ride, everything will be great. But then they tell us that humans are obsolete, non-essential, and we're bad for the Earth, and we need to be phased out. So they're very open about what they're doing, and they count on us just being very passive, living in the Matrix-like system that they're building. But what defines humans more than anything from the rest of the, quote, animal kingdom is that we control our environment. We build our own environments. We create our own systems. We really geoengineer and terraform the planet and its systems towards our aims. But instead, we're acting like animals, letting the globalists play the part of humans and us as cattle. And that's the trick. Constantly, whether it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, or Howard Stern, you name it, they come out and they attack InfoWars saying, Jones claims civil war is coming and financial collapse and planetary lockdowns using viruses, and he tells people they should get off the grid and get prepared and have storable food if they can. And now everything I've warned people about is coming true because it was all in the Rockefeller Foundation documents like lockstep. This is the corporate planetary takeover. So, yes, I stand by what I said 10 years ago, what I said a year ago, and what I said last week more than ever. Get your high-quality storable foods at InfoWarsStore.com. That's one of the key check marks of the check boxes you've got to have checked off. InfoWarsStore.com, and their delivery is now 1 to 2 weeks. Get it before the next big rush comes. Take action. Get the best storable food at the best price now at InfoWarsStore.com, and it supports the InfoWar.
The clock is ticking on the once free world, and the free press is under attack more than ever. I now see videos 10 or 15 times a day without even trying to find them of press being arrested in the United States, press being arrested in Canada, the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And it's always the so-called liberal left, the defenders of speech, doing it. They are the authoritarians. They work for the Chi-Com globalist combine, and they are working around the clock to silence InfoWars. Just as we were the group they started with 3 years ago, they test out everything new on us. And a lot of it I can't get into on air at this point. I'll be able to reveal this later, but I just want to make you all realize that your support, your word of mouth, your prayer is absolutely essential, and I thank you all for it. But whatever you do, take advantage of the great products that support the InfoWar and make your life healthier and better at InfoWarsStore.com. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com today. This is going to come down to a fight over how many people are awake and how many aren't. They're going to contest the election. They're going to say Trump lost. They're super pissed that I'm on air.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
You kept us on air. We did the analysis first. It's now gone mainstream. We continue to be the epicenter. And what they've said directly to us is you continue to be the epicenter of our plans not going the way we want. And you need to stop right now. And they're very, very serious. Well, I'm not signing on with a bunch of devil worshiping child molesters. This is not going to happen. So they are moving now to destroy me. I used to say support InfoWars, rescue InfoWars, save yourself, save the world. We're in this together. Because let me tell you something. Communism's up here. InfoWars is the dam blocking it, which is all of us together supporting. And you and I are all down here with our families. My children are right here. But I need money to fight a war. And I need word of mouth. And I need prayer. And I need action. Because that dam's going to come down. Trump's told you, hell's coming.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. It's the final segment of The David Knight Show for today, the 11th of September, year 2020. My guest, Richard Proctor, can be found at bathroomeconomics.com. It's the name of his book, Bathroom Economics. He also has a 6-volume series, The Liberty Collection, talking about exactly how our Constitution has been picked apart piecemeal by the enemies of freedom over time. You can also find him at utahconstitutionparty.com/Richard-Proctor. That's utahconstitutionparty.com/Richard-Proctor. His number one goal is getting the country back in line with the Constitution. If only that was the supreme goal of a greater number of people, you know, maybe we'd be there already. Maybe we wouldn't have to be dealing with what we're dealing with now. I want to ask you, Mr. Proctor, because I've been seeing a move away from libertarianism, especially for young people. They see it as an unviable option because they see the power of big tech, they see the power of corporations, and they want a strong, empowered government to fight back against them. And I have to admit, it's an appealing argument because we see the way that big tech operates with impunity. We see the damage being done to the fabric of American society, and it's tempting to want a strong government to combat that. But then, as I pointed out earlier in the show, the government never does what you think it's going to do. You can empower it all you want. It's only going to enrich itself. It's only going to rob you. It's only going to do whatever it can to exploit the American people rather than protect them. So I guess my question is to you, what's the argument that you would make to people who are less favorable of libertarianism or of constitutionalism now because of the threats they see from things like big tech?
Well, you know, the Constitution was written by men in 1787. And people say, well, it's outmoded. It was written so long ago. Well, you know, Moses took down the Ten Commandments a bit longer back than that, and we don't consider that outmoded. Well, maybe we do, but we should not. Bottom line is, the Constitution is not just a set of laws to control. The Constitution is a set of laws to control human nature, because human nature is set out to do what's best for them, no matter if they step on anybody or do anything. So the Constitution was developed to control these things you're talking about. It would do it if we would do it. For example, just use the term election of president. The election of the president has been an absolute disaster since the year 1800. Can you believe we've been back that far? The last time the Constitution was used to elect a president was in 1796. The political parties destroyed the election of the president, and they took over the position of Electoral College. The Electoral College is supposed to nominate people to the Congress to be president, and the Electoral College was all set up to do that. So what happened? The political parties decided they wanted that power, and they took it over. So now they, not you and I, they sit down and decide who they're going to run for president, and we must vote for them because we don't understand that we don't really have any right to, we don't have any voting power at all. We only can elect what they want, and it's these same people. It's the CFR. The Electoral College holds forth in the early part of an election year in the Pratt House in New York City, and it decides who you can vote for. And we all get behind who they decide we can vote for. What about that?
Yeah, we see that we saw that in 2012 very starkly with Ron Paul. Was it 2008 or 2012 where they just changed the rules?
I think it was 12 that they did that. I think it was 12.
And I remember at that time talking about this to liberal friends, and they had no sympathy. They were just like, yeah, well, it's the party and it's your fault for being a part of that party and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to tell them, look, this is not a good thing. You shouldn't be in favor of this just because, you know, the guy you don't like got affected by it. I was trying to warn them, look, this is not good that we have this small group of people that can override the general will of the public. That's not a good thing. They argued against me. And then sure enough, 4 years later, look at what happened to Bernie Sanders. They did it to them as well. And I got to sort of look back and have a nice, I told you so moment, because they didn't listen to me back then, and apparently they're still not listening.
Well, you know, I can do that same thing that you just said with this concept that I have, that I just mentioned a few minutes ago about how to get our country back. I began teaching that concept on the David Knight Show in June of 2019. By Jove, that's a year and 3 months ago. I've been teaching that for a year, and I don't see the effect of it. Everybody now says, oh, what can we do? What can we do? And I just say the same thing. I sound like a broken record. But now we've lost the possibility to use this election as the first step. We could have used this election as the first step, but nobody wanted to. No, I don't want to belong to the Constitution Party. What's that? It's not big enough. Well, the reason it's not big enough is because everybody that doesn't want to belong to it because it's not big enough don't. Therefore, it isn't big enough.
Right.
It's a catch-22.
I don't want to do that. Prophecy in a way, yeah.
Everybody else says the same thing. I don't like this guy, or I don't like that guy. That's not the key. The key is, should he even be running for office? No, nobody is supposed to run for the president of the United States, ever. They're supposed to be asked to do it.
Right.
And then they choose to or not.
Right.
None of this popularity contest. That's what the Electoral College is to do. It's to find the best statesman in the United States that will run to, and ask them if they will accept the job of president of the United States. And it's done through the system of voting in each state, and gather the votes are all gathered, and the Congress votes for them, decides, they count them up, and they decide. And when they finally come to a particular person, they go to that person and ask, will you do this job? If he says no, they'll go to the next one, the next statesman that was approved. If he does say, yes, I'll do the job, that's how it's done. They don't run a popularity contest. They run a qualification contest. That's not a contest at all. It's a selection of the best people in the country to participate.
Yeah, if you can manipulate that type of selection process, then you have complete control over who's allowed in office. One of the amendments I've been talking about for a while, and it's the same thing. I feel like I'm preaching this, and it just doesn't seem to stick with people, but it's all important. You mentioned, I think, the 16th Amendment earlier. What about the 17th Amendment?
The
amendment that took away the vote from the state legislature to choose and appoint a senator and gave it to the popular vote of the state. To me, this is this makes it far, far easier to manipulate and coordinate and capture the senatorial election, rather than having to deal with like the intricacies of all these different places voting for legislatures who then vote for the Senate. They stripped that away and they said, no, it just goes to popular votes. And in that way made it that much easier to manipulate.
Absolutely.
Am I right in my reading of that?
You read that exactly right. Think about this for a minute. In the days of yore, when the Constitution was properly done, okay, all the House guys went to their constituents to get elected, and their constituents asked for stuff, and it always cost money, and it almost always was unconstitutional. But they wanted to get elected, so they put it in bills. The House originates money bills. When the money bill that was passed by the House got to the Senate looked at it and says, just a minute, my boss is the state, and if I pass this, the state will have to pay more taxes, because direct taxes were put on the states in Article 1. Now, here we have Article 1 saying that direct taxes will be on the states. In the 18th Amendment, that was stripped. So there's a violation of the law right there. They stripped those three words. Direct taxes were supposed to be, and are still supposed to be, levied on the states, not the people. But you see, they wanted the Federal Reserve, the power behind the throne. The real power wanted the United States to have a Federal Reserve. So they brought a guy by the name of Paul Warburg here in 1906, and his job was to do it. And they paid him, in our dollars, $33 million a year to get a central bank in the United States again.
And you know what's so funny? You bring up the Federal Reserve. Of course, you probably know what year the Federal Reserve was founded, 1913, right? Well, guess what year the 17th Amendment was passed in, 1913.
And guess what? 16th also. The year 1913, the first two things they had to do was do the 16th and the 17th Amendment so that they could get the Senate power nullified. And bingo, now they had control of the whole country through money.
Yeah, I did a very extensive report about the year 1913. It was also the year that the assembly line was invented by Henry Ford, and it was sort of the year that everybody in power decided, okay, we can make an assembly line society if we just control the elections, control the money supply. We can have our people working as these sort of worker bees in this assembly line society, rather than the society that America was meant to be.
That's exactly right. You've hit it right on the head. First, they get the control of the people and the money. Boy, they can go to town. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not particularly hopeful in the path that our country's taking right now, but it always fills me with at least a little glimmer of hope when I know people like Richard Proctor are out there fighting the good fight and trying to spread the news that we just need to get back to where we were before. Thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Proctor. That's going to do it for me. This is Harrison Smith signing off of The David Knight Show.